this week's episode of Robin Akiba Need a Podcast Dad Know-It-Alls is sponsored by True Car. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with the term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. And it's coming around.
Could this be the week?
Oh, Kiev, that we what? Were a What'd millimeter we away from season
oh, no.
3, episode 7.
What'd we get?
Dadcast, a.k.a.
Oh, boy.
Dad Know-It-Alls.
Okay, I think people will like that.
I think people will like that. Okay.
I also think with the Dadcast, that is, of all our ideas, something that could happen multiple times if it was good.
Okay, so let's reset what this idea was going to be, Kiev.
Yes.
What should the listeners do?
I think they should write in and ask us. We're giving out parenting advice.
Yes.
And we'll maybe tell a couple parenting stories also.
Yes.
Like a dad corner.
We are looking for either advice questions or what would you have done in this situation? How do I mm-hmm. handle this when it comes up again?
Yeah.
All sorts of dad things. Now, is this dad things?
And by the way, moms can write in too, right? It's not just for dads. We're dads. But the listeners don't have to be dads. The listeners could be parents or any type of guardian or anything and write in.
Yeah. Okay, because this really...
Because otherwise we're eliminating half our potential writer-inners.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think that we're specifically looking for, you know, how would the dad handle the situation? Because we're not moms.
Absolutely.
We're not moms.
We're not moms.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. But it could parenting advice could be universal in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah.
Robin Akiva need a podcast and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Robin Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, episode number 10, Akiva. 10 or trash.
That's right.
No, but that's
right.
Not what we're doing today.
No, we could.
No.
Should we switch it up?
We are doing the Dadcast, dad advice today. And I really do think that this could be a highly polarizing episode of the podcast.
Yeah. Should we call the Dadcast or the Dad Know-It-Alls?
Dad Know-It-Alls. I don't know if Stephen Fishback gets upset if Know-It-Alls gets thrown around and he's not part of it.
Mm-hmm. He's welcome to become a dad and become part of it.
Okay. Well, maybe at some point.
He's a married man.
Down the road, but we will just call it maybe the Dad Advice Show for right now.
I think Dadcast is better than Dad Advice Show.
Yeah, I don't know. Dadcast is fine. Yeah. And let's just say up front that these are just theories and ideas, and this podcast is for entertainment use only. And if we say anything that's bad advice, please don't at us.
No, I mean, we are experts. We are licensed experts. I have 4 kids. You have 2 kids. We are experts. We know what we're talking about. We've been doing this for a combined 17 years.
Yeah.
So I disagree.
Okay.
People should use our information, our advice.
Well, I'm just worried that we are going to step on a landmine somewhere along the way.
No question. Oh, absolutely.
And we just get obliterated.
I'm not good. I don't know if you're good at picking out which landmines are going to be stepped on. Because last week we were nervous, like people would not like the episode. They'd be like, you know, you shouldn't have covered it, or you were too nice. Some people said you were too nice. Some people said you were too mean. But really the only, because I thought the feedback from last week was really good.
Yes.
The tweets are trash. Excellent. Definitely the most feedback we've had, you know, almost uniformly positive. But the one negative feedback I've gotten a bunch is like, how dare you say that Disney is a children's theme park?
I don't even remember when you said that.
Yeah, but people, there's like threads in the patron group. People, people are emailing me. Well, I take my wife to Disney and blah blah blah. So I didn't, I didn't think that would be even mildly controversial. I've said it before on the Seinfeld podcast, and people were not happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's hard to know really where those landmines are in the podcast. But I will say, just going back to last week's episode on your tweets are trash, that I was not a believer in the concept. I had veto FOMO that I felt like that I really was that veto was like burning a hole in my sock, like I was going to throw the challenge flag. But that it was seemed widely and universally beloved.
Yeah, maybe you should listen to me more often.
Yeah, okay. I was, we took a big swing, and I think that that's really why this podcast exists, to be able to take these kinds of swings that do not exist anywhere else in the RHAP podcasting universe.
Yeah, but I would like to apologize to all the Disney heads. I was mostly just trolling T-Dub, because I know he loves Disney so much. I have been to Disney with just my wife, without my kids. Not since we had kids, because I feel like my kids would get mad about that. But you can do that. It's not really a children's amusement park.
Okay. And then one other thing
about Adventureland.
Before we get into the dad kids, I know this is a banter-free podcast, Keeve. Mm-hmm. But going back to last week's episode, do you remember how many followers T-Dub had coming into the Your Tweets Are Trash podcast?
I want to say it was ballpark like 390, but that wasn't the exact number.
394, I think, was the episode. So what do you think the RAANAP bump turned out to be?
Well, he DM'd me very excitedly that he had gained 86 followers.
Yeah, so
about 86, yeah, I don't know, 100?
At recording time, T-Dub at NoFate 1991, and we are not advising anybody to follow or unfollow.
No, I would say the opposite.
We're just reporting.
I think you should. I think it would be funny if everyone unfollowed him, 'cause I feel like. So how many does he have? What's his number?
497.
Yeah, I think if we could get 400 people, if we could get them under 100, that would be like a funny bit.
I mean, Keith, this was like a 20% bump, or 25% bump even.
Yeah, what did we say? It's 100. What did he have? 100 tweets per follower was his ratio?
Yeah.
So he would have had to tweet like 10,000 times to get this many followers.
I will say, in fairness to T-Dub, that he did not really alter his game much following the Your Tweets Are Trash podcast. He really did
a lot of avatar stuff still.
Still, but he did not seemingly get too big of a head and go like crazy.
And he was a good sport. He didn't know it was coming. We could have, you know, he didn't. We probably said some things that he probably wishes we wouldn't say, and he didn't complain. He was a good sport about it.
Yes. No, I've dealt with way, way, way worse sports in 9 years of podcasting. All right, Keith, let's get into talking about the Dad Advice Know-It-Alls podcast show. And so what was the response to this podcast? Were people excited or not?
I think people are excited. I do think, we said this a couple weeks ago, like, your audience, you know, let's say from the start, let's say it's about 50% male. And then of those 50%, like most are not dads. So I don't think we have a ton of dads in the, you know, everyone has had a dad, like, or will be a dad, or maybe is interested or knows dads. But like,
or seen,
I don't know how
TV.
Many, yeah. or have seen dads or are familiar with dads. I don't know how many dads there were to like ask practical questions, but I think people, no one was like, oh man, I'm skip. That's a skip for me. I think people will give this a chance.
Give it a shot. Okay. We'll see how it's going, and if we feel like it's not working, you know, we'll pull the ripcord and get into the wheel spin.
True. And this is also the thing. If people loved it, it's a very easy thing to put back on.
Okay. All right, Keith. So how are we going to start this?
I think we have a whole batch of questions, and we'll take turns. You pick a question from the bag, and I'll pick up a question, and we'll go back and forth until we're done.
I'm just picking a random question, or anyone that
anything,
I see that...
Anything that you think is interesting.
Okay, so just full disclosure, Akiva has put these all into a Google document, which I got right before.
Do you want me to go first while you
take a
look at the questions?
Let me grab one first, because I see one that I'd like to start with. Kirsten McInnes... The great Kirsten McKinnon says, can you frame this entire podcast as an open letter to Mike Bloom?
Yeah, so Mike Bloom recently announced he was going to be a dad. I think that was one of the things we discussed when we added this on. Maybe it's we're not experts, but for someone like Mike, who has no kids, like, we know way more than him, for at least the next, like, I'm sure in a year he'll, like, pass the knowledge. But at this point, but yeah, and of course he had the kids just to get on the podcast, but we rudely did not invite him on because we just added him last week.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know anything yet.
Right. We could have just, like, had him on and just, like, almost, like, sang to him, just told us, you know, everything to expect. But, yeah, we could make this is really, yeah, we'll have Mike Bloom in mind. A new dad.
All right.
I don't know if he's having a boy or a girl. He might be having triplets for all we know. I don't think he is.
So should
we
address Mike directly and then answer all of the questions for Mike?
I mean, if they're practical, some of them are like, I have a 13-year-old. What should I do? I don't know if Mike cares about that stuff yet.
All right. Now, Mike, just relax. There's a lot going on, but you pay special attention. Maybe get out a legal pad and a pencil. And you're going to want to take some notes here today, Mike.
Take some notes here. Yeah. Maybe do the exact opposite of what we say. Or maybe have Angela also listen. and you guys could figure out
is
what to do.
Is that how she pronounces her name?
Canonically on this show, it's like Angela Merkel. I think we decided that a few episodes ago. Someone who's a couple months further along than Mike Bloom is Renee Herrera,
yes,
who tweeted us and said, only a little over a month to go before my baby girl arrives. That's very exciting. How soon will I have a mental breakdown? Thank you for your time.
Mm.
So, like Mike, Renee is having a kid, but I don't know when Mike's coming, but Renee is coming really soon.
And this is presuming that Renee has not already had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why he's assuming he's going to have a mental breakdown over this. So do you remember, like, how nervous you were before you had any kids?
You know what? I don't really feel like I was especially nervous about anything, but I think that I was in a different position where my wife, as a nurse, I just said, well, she seems to know everything that's going on. When somebody tells me to freak out, that's when I'll freak out. And it probably wasn't until in the delivery room, like very close to the actual birth, that I started to get a little panicky because my wife was in a lot of pain and it seemed like that things were not going according to script.
Right. So I guess just to like back up a little bit, if people are not familiar with our sort of parenting situations. So I have four kids. I have daughters who are 12 and 9, and I have sons that are almost the exact same age as your sons. My sons are 4 and 1, but about to be 5 and 2. How old are your sons?
3 and 5.
Yeah, 5 and 3. Right. So one of our, right, your sons are each like 6 months to a year older than my sons, but then I had the two older daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But you had your first kid when you were like 35, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I had my first kid when I was in college and I was 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So different perspectives.
Different perspectives. So I think what I would say to Renee and to Mike and anybody like this is if I could do that, like if I could have a kid when I was in college and I was like literally in the middle of finals of my second to last semester and I was 22 and like not only did I not have like a job, I had like didn't even know what I wanted to do yet in life. Like
and
I didn't
figure
it
out.
I mean, I will at some point, yes, figure it out. But like I was like so clueless. And if I could do that and my daughter's like at the very least like healthy and happy,
right,
like think about how much of an advantage however old Renee is and however old Mike is had over me and like lots of other people. Like it's 2018. It's like the best time in human history. Like it's, you know, you're
by some
you're,
metrics. Yeah.
By many metrics. Like I'm saying, like, you know, the most advanced, certainly, like you'll be fine. Like and also one of the things about having a first kid, and we both don't live near our family, which does make this a little tricky,
mm-hmm,
is a lot of people. You're especially if it's the first kid born in your family, you're going to have not just like your parents and your spouse's parents, but like aunts and uncles and cousins and your friends. There are going to be so many people offering to help if for your first kid. Trust me, when you're your fourth kid, like no one offers to help at all. You know, it's people don't even like send you a text saying like congratulations. No one cares anymore. But for your first kid, people will be excited. You'll get so much help, especially at the beginning. So definitely. Yeah. And one kid, I think you'll know, like now that you have two kids, I think you'll agree. One kid is really easy.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't even think I had a mental breakdown until, you know, well into Dominic's life. But I think that, you know, once with the second baby being born, I think I've had one, you know, every morning since, you know, very early into my second child's life.
Well, what's also tricky, I think, for you, but just in general, is for one kid, super easy. But then if your first kid is like a particularly good kid, then after it's like if another kid is hard or has any like more health issues or is a worse sleeper even or anything like that, it just exacerbates it so much more. It's like, why can't you be like the first kid? But yeah, one kid is a joke. One kid is like playing a video game on rookie mode.
Okay. So you need to up the level. Have more kids.
Yeah, everyone should have. I mean, no. But I'm just like, yeah, if you have one kid, that's great. And that's for some people. But your kid needs to at least make it to like Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have one kid, then.
Yeah.
Did you know a lot of only children growing up?
I can't really say that I did.
I grew up in a community where people have a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really. I knew in my high school, I know that for a fact there were zero only children. My elementary school, I think there was one kid whose parents got immediately divorced after he had a kid. So I grew up not knowing any only children. But think about it. When you have a first kid, even if he's not always going to be the only child, like it's just one. It's two parents, one kid. It's easy.
All right, Keeve. What's next? Where do you want to go?
All right. So this is, you know, we hear questions from first time dads, but we have a different type of question from Olivier.
Okay.
He says, the only question I have for a dad podcast is, should I become a dad? Not having kids allows me to travel when and where I want to go out in a weeknight as much as I enjoy it. The mess in my apartment is mine, and it's not toys and vomit stains. Do you just think our house is like, there's just vomit everywhere? Because I feel like it's my house isn't filled with vomit stains. I don't know.
My house is filled with toys, I will say that.
Yeah, toys for sure. There are way. My wife, I've said this before, is a little bit of what we would call a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
But it really manifests itself in that she won't throw anything out that we already have.
Yeah.
And I guess she thinks there's going to be a museum built of all of her stuff one day, like a shrine to her. So she doesn't, she'd be nervous to throw it out. It would be yes. Like if we were throwing out something from like Pablo Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
So I did say the other day, like I've tripped over the same toy 30 times in the last year. No, the exact same toy. And the kids don't play with it. It's just like in the way, cause it's a weird shape. I'm going to throw it out. And she looked at me like if I was going to say, like, I'm going to throw the dog in the garbage. Like, it was not only was it a no, but it didn't even deign a response. She was mad at me afterwards. I said it in front of one of the kids and like she was so mad that they like got upset and like almost cried. So, yes, too many toys, but not as many vomit stains as Olivier would think. He continues, Rob even said in the podcast that his ideal return to Survivor would be to be eliminated first and enjoy 36 days of rest from his house.
Yes. Yes, that would be good.
Being a high school teacher, I don't want kids at home, like a butcher who wouldn't want to eat meat because he works with it all day long. My brother has two wonderful kids, and being the godfather of the eldest one, I feel like I have a special bond with him. But when he's annoying, or if I want some alone time, I could bring him back to his parents. Can you please, please explain to me the appeal? Because I just don't get it.
Okay. So we're explaining the appeal of procreation?
Yeah. Should he become a dad, basically?
Three stars.
That was his question.
Yeah.
Is that 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5. Difference. I'm going by the review standard.
Okay.
I would say if you don't want to have kids, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
In terms of the appeal, I think there is a lot of upside there, Keeve. I think it's more of a long play than a short one.
Right. You're making a decision now that, like, if you don't have kids, at a certain point, it becomes harder and harder to have kids, or you might not want to, or you don't want to be an older parent. It's tricky because sometimes you're making a decision now for, like, future Rob or future Olivier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, yeah, obviously, if you don't want kids, the answer is no. Definitely do not have kids if you don't want them. What's interesting is he said he's a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's a good teacher, I'm sure he's a good teacher, like, you're probably going to be a good, like, you're more likely than not going to be a good dad. Like, if you like high school kids, like, you're definitely going to like 2-year-olds that are, like, actually cute and not, you know, gross.
Yeah. It really comes down to, I think, what your feelings are. It's, you know, high highs and low lows. If you are just, you know what you like, and it's just, I want, you know, just a steady sort of straight line experience here, you know, that's what you get. And you'll have some, you know, good times and bad times. But if you want, you know, really high highs of yes, okay, I understand the meaning of life. Okay. This is great. And then also that my life is hell and, I've never been lower than I am at this moment. Then, you know, and you want to have that on a daily basis, then parenting is for you.
Yeah, it's funny because we both, like, we'll talk about, oh, hey, did you
my
see that guy's on
my life is not hell. I'm being dramatic.
we will both be like, hey, see, that guy's on vacation for like the eighth time this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like something that, you know, no person with multiple kids would really ever be able to do. But on the other hand, like, you're sort of jealous of people who have kids who don't have kids for certain ways, but then in other ways, like, maybe you're like, they would like to have kids. I do think one of the things that's my major pet peeve online is when people are like, well, I want to have a kid, but like, I can't have a kid now because like, look what's going on in the world. Like, how could I bring into a kid into the world when Trump is president, or things like that you see all the time on Twitter? It's like, first of all, do I care that I was born when Ronald Reagan was president? Like, how does that affect my life? You know,
mm-hmm.
even if Ronald Reagan was like your least favorite person on earth, like that really will have no effect on your life by the time you're 5 years old, which is how old I was when Ronald Reagan was no longer president. But there is a lot of like, well, I can't bring a kid into this world. Like, do you think the world is not the best it's ever been? Like, do you think would you have liked to go back to like 1845 and been like, oh, yeah, this is way better. We don't have indoor plumbing. Like, I need to bring kids into this world.
All right. Let's see what would be interesting. OK, this is a question. I saw a couple of questions like this. This is one from John Rumsey. My daughter turns 13 next week. Any advice in preparing for a teenager? And I saw a couple different versions of this question. About,
yes, we got a bunch of those.
Hey,
like that.
I'm a dad and I have a daughter who's getting older. And what is my strategy as I am about to be the father of a teenage girl, Keeve?
Yeah, so I'm in the exact same boat as John. My daughter is going to be 13 in a few weeks. And my parenting guru, I'd say, is Bill Simmons.
Yeah, that's your guru?
Sure. He has a daughter who's 13. We have kids the same age, so I sort of take all my advice from him. And his daughter is, I think, 13 now, like mine's about to be. He always talks about how, like, once your daughter hits 12 or 13, she's going to start to hate you. And especially if there's a mom in the picture, she'll probably hate the mom even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely found that. My daughter has like 8 breakdowns a week where she, you know, basically decides like she hates us and that we're the worst. And I hear, but it's, I try and stay out of it. Like I do hear a lot of like yelling sort of faintly in the background. You can probably listen sometimes on the podcast very closely and hear my daughter and my wife just going back and forth. Yeah, I don't know. I just think you have to sort of put yourself in the 13-year-old shoes. Like, they're going through a lot. The one thing that didn't really occur until last year, I didn't grow up, you know, I was a boy, we didn't have this as much, is there's a lot of politics when you get to like 6th and 7th grade.
Okay, like with politics, like in the middle
school.
Yeah,
in school, like there was a lot of, in 6th grade last year started bullying. I'd never really been through serious bullying that couldn't be solved like immediately before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kids were mean, but it wasn't like there was, what, especially with, social media, because we didn't
cyber
have
bullying.
With when we were in 6th and 7th grade. So every single combination of girls has WhatsApp groups or text chains. And there'll be, let's say there's 20 girls in a class. There'll be a text chain that has like everyone but, you know, but Sally. And then there'll be another one that has like everyone but like one group of girls that they don't like. And then mm-hmm. there'll be like the cool girls will have one. And the other, you know, there's 100 combinations of these message threads, and they can get really ugly. So we had a problem last year where there were girls who were like so mean to my daughter that my wife once went to school. My wife is tough. Like, my wife's friends are afraid of her. My wife is mm-hmm. a lot like Nicole. I think people are like a little intimidated by her. And she went to school. And a couple of the girls who were like being mean to my daughter, like, stuck their tongues at my wife when they saw her in the hall and like ran away.
How'd that go?
Which, like, I would not. I mean, what was she going to do? Like, beat up a child? Like, nothing. She didn't do anything. And they were like making fun of her a little bit. It was crazy. I can't imagine when I was in 7th grade that I would have like gone after one of my friend's parents. Like, they probably would have hit me, you know,
mm-hmm.
or at least like never let me play with the kid again. Not that these kids wanted to play with my daughter, but it really got, my daughter was not really the one of the major recipients of the bullying. She just wasn't friends with these girls. But there was a girl who, instead of saying her name, they would like put an emoji of a trash can so they couldn't get in trouble. with the school because, like, you know, if someone would show the principal the text thread, someone would rat on them or something. Mm-hmm. There was a girl who, like, for like the whole year was like a trash can in the text thread. So really the thing I'm most nervous about as my daughter is like 12 and turning 13 is you really do need to, police social media more than you think you should.
Like, what do you do? And do you actually, like, does she have her own phone?
So she has a phone, but she doesn't have a smartphone. She has an iPad.
Okay.
Because she can't really have a smartphone in school. It doesn't really work. So she has like sort of a dumb phone. And then at home, she has an iPad. And then for certain things, like, she just uses my phone because I, as you know, longtime listeners will know, I don't really use my phone. So she could like take it out if she ever needs. And I don't care. Because I'm home, I'm on the computer all day, nobody calls me.
And then will you guys then look at what she's talking about in these different groups, or is that like a complete invasion
of
privacy?
We have access to it, is more of the point. I'm not tracking it every day, but I think you need access. You need to know what they're doing. Another thing along the same lines for 12 and 13-year-olds, and I don't know how your parents were with this. Did your parents, like, police your friends at all when you got a little older?
No. I never had friends, Akiva. Uh-huh. And so
Do you think your parents would have been, let's say you brought home a kid who was kind of like a punk, he was kind of like a tough kid, would your parents have cared? Like, I know that's like the troublemaker in class. Where they would
have
been like,
know.
We're just so happy that little Robbie has a friend.
I vividly remember my mom saying, like, that you have to get out of the house. So I don't care where you go. Get out of the house. That I don't care who you hang out with or where you go. You have to leave.
Yeah. My parents were pretty big into policing my...
But yeah, I'm sure you always had a million friends.
Not a million, but I had friends, but they were they did not want me to be like friends with the troublemakers. And my dad, more than probably any other dad, policed it to the point when I was in ninth grade. I don't think I've told the story in a podcast, but my sort of one of my best friends who had also gone to junior high school with, went to camp with, was like way more advanced than the other kids. Like, he was smoking. He, I think, was doing drugs, like smoking pot at least. He ran away from home to my house at one point. For like a night or two, and his parents didn't know where he was. And like, he was, and it was a grade of nerds. Like, none of us smoked cigarettes. No one was doing drugs. Nobody was into anything. He was just like light, you know, years advanced from us. And he was like, and they thought he was bringing the kids down. And my parents were, there was other little things. Like, he got me kicked off AOL because he would like go on AIM and like say like insane things to people. Mm-hmm. So he got like the whole family kicked off AOL, which was like a big deal because it was the entire internet in 1996. Yeah. So I've never really discussed it with my dad, but I think my parents went to the principal and basically said, like, we're taking Kiva out of school unless you get rid of this kid. And they were, I guess, going to get rid of him anyway because they got rid of him very soon after. And that guy still will not speak to me if he sees me on the street. So it's a little strange. He's still mad about that, even though he probably saved his life because he's a normal kid now. So I think you really have, like, police what's going on with the friends, with social media, way more than you think. My other, by the way, crazy sort of like friend story is my wife's. She had her brother. Mm-hmm. Had I asked my wife this question like a year or two ago. I'm like, did your parents also police your friends? She's like, well, no, I was like a girl and I had really nice friends, but my brothers sometimes would bring home some like real goons. And she said one guy her dad didn't let in the house ended up being like the star of War Dogs.
Oh,
if you're familiar with that movie, like the guy who like runs guns to
not Jonah Hill.
I believe it was the Jonah Hill character.
not in the movie, the actual guy.
I believe it was the guy he played, allegedly. I think that's the story that they so maybe a good job by Mare's dad. Good foresight on that one. Like, the one kid who wasn't allowed ends up getting a movie made up about it, like how insane he is.
Ephraim Divaroli?
Yeah, I don't think we should have said his name.
I mean, that's his character's name. I have no idea.
I honestly don't know if it was that kid or the other kid.
Yeah.
They both grew up near them in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that's my message. There was a couple other people who had similar ideas. In terms of someone else asked a very similar question, but with regard to boys.
Yes.
And I don't know. My daughter that age is not into boys. My 9-year-old daughter came home this week. And she's like, what's blurting or flirting? She said
flirting. Like,
she said all my friends said I was flirting with this boy.
Oh,
I said, do you mean flirting?
Mm hmm.
She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, now I got trouble. So this is really like the first
I
week.
Flirting
I've even had to think
was
about
like
it.
On a webcam or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Flirting made me very nervous, to be honest. It ended up being flirting. But I mean,
you'd
I don't
rather
know.
Your daughter
know.
Is flirting than flirting.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm very happy it ended up that she was flirting with some boy. The problem was the boy was a little older. That was my concern. But I really don't know. I would love advice on that. But my older daughter is extremely not interested in anybody yet.
Okay. What else? Do we solve everybody's problems yet?
Haley Strong says she doesn't have any dad questions, but she has some daddy ones. Yeah. Can we answer those?
Yeah, I think that I saw some people saying, Haley.
She's in timeout right now. She is grounded. Can I ask you a question that we didn't
sure.
ask?
Can I ask you a question? Are you recording audio on this podcast?
Yes, okay. I am recording audio on this podcast. Did you guys, when you were a kid, were you ever grounded?
I never really was grounded because I wasn't trying to go anywhere. You know, I would get punished.
The only thing that could have punished you from is like, you're not allowed in your room. You're having too much fun in there.
Right. You know, I would get punished, but I don't think I was ever grounded. I didn't really have any privileges to take away.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I think I was, the only time I was ever punished is if I did really poorly on a test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a friend who was like the best student like throughout my entire childhood up through college that I went to school with him. And one time I was at his house and he got back a test that day. Mm-hmm. It was like a 94 in a science test and we had to leave. Like his parents were so mad he only got a 94 that we had to go home. So I guess he was grounded.
You know, I kind of feel like that as an adult, I feel like that's probably better than the alternative. No?
What? Insisting your kid gets 100 on every test?
I mean, not to the point where you are abusive or anything like
that. No, I don't think they were abusive. I think they were just extremely demanding.
How did that kid turn out? I feel like that
he's a great kid. He's wonderful.
For real?
And he makes a lot of money. Yeah. Makes more money than any of my friends.
I think that.
But also, like, he was the type of kid who could get 100. Like, my parents could have demanded 100 of me, or your parents could have demanded 100 on you of every test. It just would have been impossible.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like that based on the anecdotal evidence that I've seen, like, I'm sure there are times where it did not work out, but I kind of feel like that if you're playing the percentages, I think, you know, demanding excellence from the kids, I think is probably. Yeah.
I'm going to start that.
I mean,
we'll start by finding out what my kids like get on tests. I really don't really. My daughters are both pretty decent at school, so I don't really hover over. Don't even check every report card because I know like if it's bad, there'll be an issue. My wife will tell me, but like I don't care if the difference between a 94 and an 88, and I know they're not really getting much worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that my parents were more involved with my brother for whatever reason. They were more involved with my brother insisting that he did his homework and stuff like that than they were.
It's interesting because usually parents mail it in at the end. Like my parents were very. And if people don't know my family situation, me and my sister are in our 30s with children. And then I have two sisters who are like babies in high school and in the beginning of college.
Yeah.
And obviously the high school and college ones, it's mail time city. Like those kids could do whatever they want. But we actually had to do our homework and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Usually by the younger kids, you're like older. You're like, all right, I've been through this 3 times. Like you're on your own, little sister Nino.
Right. And my brother, he has lots of friends and a real job and stuff like that.
Oh, so maybe it's like they just liked him better. That's what you're saying.
I don't know if they liked him better, but, you know, lots of people like certainly hope. Did. Yeah.
Shut Up Tim said, how much time is on the iPad is too much on the iPad?
Yeah.
This is a big question.
This is a big question. Thing. And I see articles online about how, you know, the iPad is like crack cocaine for these kids. And
it is. YouTube is really crack cocaine for kids.
Yeah. And, you know, it's rewiring their brains and screen time.
No, I just mean that it's great that everyone should try it. It was like cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for this, but I do think that there is some value. And I've heard Gary Vaynerchuk actually talk about like the opposite where he wants his kids to be on the phone and sort of like be able to master that skill. So I do think that there is something to that and sort of like the hand-eye coordination of being able to work the, you know, the iPad and the screens, but too much is definitely, you can tell when they've been over-served.
It's a constant battle here. I mean, like we were joking about this beforehand that all the $75 a month patrons will hear that conversation for how our kids would literally throw us in the garbage for like an hour of YouTube time. Like they would like, we're going to move to Siberia, but you could go on YouTube whenever you want. Like, kids would immediately sign up for that.
Yes. Yeah. The context of that was that my kids were very disappointed we did not have to evacuate in the recent wildfires, because Nicole had told them that they could do the iPad once if we had to go to a hotel.
Yeah, it's a constant battle. The problem is it's very hard to get the kids off of it once they're on it.
Yes.
It's not like and it's different than TV for some reason. Whereas, like, if our parents said to us, like, you'd watch one show, I feel like it was very finite. Like, all right, you're only allowed to watch Saved by the Bell or Family Matters or something.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids, it's like you can watch one little clip of Peppa Pig, and like 2 hours later, it's harder to police because you're not really looking at it, especially if it's a smaller screen.
Do you think that maybe it has more to do with when, you know, if you could watch TV, like maybe you had a tape that you could pop in that was your favorite tape, but mm-hmm. YouTube, between the algorithm and the stuff that's on demand, yeah. and Netflix, they are able to get exactly what they want and be
able
to.
Yeah, and it's infinite. There's an infinite amount of content.
And at any point, their attention drifts. Here are related videos. They could click on it and go on to right into the next thing.
We maybe had a show on at 7:30 and then like we just didn't like what was on at 8. It was for adults or something. And it was like, all right,
we can't skip the commercials. And
right.
It may not have been what we even wanted to watch, but that was what was on.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think my wife does demonize it a little bit, the screen time. And I think if you're not a parent, or if you're not a parent of little kids, like, and you're wondering why this is a big deal, like, the screen, like a TV or a computer, an iPad, is like the world's greatest babysitter. Like,
yes.
The amount we could get done in this house if my kids just like came home from school and watched TV, like, my house would be the cleanest house in the world, and everything would be put together, and all the jobs we've been pushing off for months. But like, if you don't let your kids play on the iPad, you have to play with them a lot of times, especially if you only have one kid home, or there's a big age difference, or your kids don't like playing with each other or something. It's like, it's the screen time or you actually parenting, which is fine, but especially on a weekend or something, that means like if you literally don't allow screens, that means it's like 12 hours of you, 0 hours of screen. Whereas even like 10 hours of you, 2 hours of screen, it's not like you're being a neglectful parent, but you can like get so much done, because it really is like the world's greatest babysitter. But we're really on almost no screen time. It's except for like extreme bribes in the summertime. And it's a lot.
Yeah. Where Nicole does not want the screen time, but then also, I get frustrated that she, on these mornings that, I let her sleep, and then she doesn't want the screen time and the TV. And then she comes out of the bedroom and is like, "Hey, this house is a mess." And I'm like, "Well, what's not a mess? The iPad."
Right. It's true.
It's like that not only am I playing with them, but now that you're upset with me and I didn't even play with these toys.
Yeah, no, it is tricky. My argument is, I don't know how bad it is for you. Like you were saying, like, my daughter, we were a little more lenient when we were younger, and my daughter spent way more time on the computer than my other kids. And she's like really good. Like, she could make things. Like, when we did the serial tournament, she made like a full PDF like by herself. Like, she's really good with the computer. And I think like the more time they spend, especially if you're like gearing them towards productive things, it's like useful. Like, I want my daughter to get into coding and stuff, and like, she's not going to do that by like playing with toys all day. I'm not sure why. Not that my 12-year-old's playing with magnetiles, but I don't know why. You know what magnetiles are? Someone else suggested, like, mentioned them to us in the...
I think so,
on
yeah.
Twitter,
yeah.
Like the Picasso tiles. They have different names.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Like, yes, that's cool for a 3-year-old, but I don't know why, like, toys or even playing with your friends and 11-year-olds yelling about Fortnite is so much more productive than, like, than a kid on a screen, especially if you're policing a lot what they're watching. Like, a lot of shows are garbage, but...
Yeah.
I think there's a happy medium that we have not found yet. I think screen time is demonized a little too much.
Okay. All right. What else, Keev?
Wynn wants to know, as a parent with multiple children, do you have a favorite, and does yours differ from your spouse's?
I wouldn't say that I have a favorite.
I think from day to day, you probably have a favorite, but you don't have
whoever's
like,
being
I love you
good
more.
Is my favorite. And whoever's having a tantrum is my least favorite.
Yeah, I do not have any favorites. My wife said, like, "Oh, that so-and-so's your favorite." And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, I don't have favorites. She's like, oh, yeah, but, like, he always asks to, like, have a catch with you or whatever. I'm like, yeah, he's one. What is that, like, what does that mean he's my favorite? Like, I'm going to, like, give him more money in the will? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I did, if I can tell a story. So I was out recently with my three little sisters. And because I'm 18 years older than my baby sister, like, the four of us have only been together as a, like, without my parents as a foursome, like, a couple times in my life, like only three or four times have we ever just been the four of us in a room. Mm-hmm. And we went to my favorite pizza place, like a fancy pizza place. And I was sitting next to my middle of my three sisters, and my sister had just had a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not there for the bris. And my sister turned to me when my other sister weren't looking. She was like, you know, dad sort of implied, like, during the bris weekend that, like, the our oldest sister is, like, her favorite kid.
Yeah.
And, like, she said it, like, a little more aggressively than that. And then, like, 2 seconds later, my pizza came, and it was such a bittersweet moment. It was like, oh, I just found out I'm probably not my dad's favorite, but, like, in good news, I have my pizza. And I was fine. I think it was a net positive.
How was the pizza?
It was amazing. Like, oh. It was...
Okay.
Listen, I put it on my dad's credit card.
Look,
after
but now
that
you
also.
Know how it goes. It changes from day to day.
Yeah, and I didn't find out I was number four also.
Right.
It changes from day to day, but we're also like in our 30s. Like, I think it more changes from like year to
settled,
year at this
right.
point. It's mostly settled, you know. Maybe I have my kids call a little more often or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, if it's that important to you, you can, you know, work to
oh, yeah,
either
can lobby, for sure.
bring yourself up or poison the well and bring your sister down.
Right. I guess also she moved like three blocks from them, and I moved way more than three blocks. That hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think a lot more parents than people realize do have favorites when kids get older. If you have a favorite when kids are babies, you're a monster, I think. But if you have a favorite like in their 20s, you know, I think there's more parents than you think have a favorite.
I do think that the proximity thing is a big deal. I think that I've really fallen in the power rankings being far away.
Yeah, and it's not like your mom moved away from you. Like, you moved away from her. So it's kind of your fault.
My fault.
Henry wants to know, how do we spend quality time with our kids? I'm so exhausted after work to do anything but watch TV with them. A lot of people had very similar questions. Summer says, how do you manage work and family time? It's a struggle for my husband, who's also self-employed. I'm so grateful for his hard work, which allows me to stay home with the kids, but finding family time is tough. I'm so looking forward to this podcast. Thanks, guys. A lot of people want to know about balancing work and family. Are you very cognizant of, like, well, it's been a few days or it's been a few weeks, like, I need to take out a kid and also do separate with the kids. Like, hey, I want to have some time just with Dominic or just with Anthony.
No, I don't really do, you know, one stuff. I think it's that my kids are so close in age and both boys that I feel like that most of the time, whatever activity is the same. They both want to do the same thing.
For a 12-year-old girl and a 1-year-old boy, I think it's very different.
Right. You want to split that up. I do try to be, you know, at least somewhat cognizant of that. I, you know, trying to make some family time. You know, I do feel like that I am home with them, you know, every morning. You know, I spend a couple hours with them, you know, before we go to sleep, because they wake up very early. You know, even on, you know,
by the way,
worst
they wake
day.
Up very early. We didn't mention as much, but that is sort of another notch in Olivier's belt. Like, maybe Olivier's right. Don't have any kids.
Right. So, you know, I do get about, you know, 2 hours of time with them, you know, every single morning before I, you know, do one thing for work. But, you know, definitely, if I do forget, Nicole keeps a very careful clock on, we haven't done this, you haven't done this in, you know, this many days, or, you know, you're not around for this. So my wife is good at reminding me of when I have gone too long.
And because I have four, I think it's easier because, and like you're saying, what you're doing everything together, it's much harder with four. Everyone's got insanely different schedules. My daughter did say this summer, one of mine said, like, hey, you know, I never just have time with you. And then I immediately took her out for like an afternoon. But I also did this summer. I made sure I had like a separate day with all four kids. I think I only hit three out of four, but I think
that's
the baby
still
will be okay.
Good. 75%.
Yeah. But I do think, especially with more than one kid, I think it is something to like think about, like how, you know, how much has this person sort of like been your, because you feel like you see them, but I don't know, like there's a difference between time and quality time. And like, we're both at home all day.
Mm-hmm.
So we see our kids probably more than the average parent. maybe who's out working all day, but that doesn't mean we're like with them, because it's almost different. It's like we're at home, but our kids sort of can't, like, they know they can't bother us a lot of the day. We're sort of like upstairs or in a separate office, and so it is, we're almost like actively ignoring them sometimes. So it is a little different, but I think cumulatively we probably see our kids more than the average person.
Okay.
Joel Wheels, no relation to me, says, how would you guys handle your kids being Patriots fans? We got a bunch of similar questions like that. I think someone said, Jeff from Iowa said he's a big Iowa Hawkeye fan, and his 10-year-old son's becoming an Iowa State Cyclone fan. I hate the Cyclones. How would you react if one of your kids became a Patriots fan? Same exact question. Do I disown him?
All right. This is a good question. Now, the Iowa State thing, I don't know the geography of that, where, the kids go to school and all the other friends are the Iowa State fans. But the Patriots thing is so specific because it's so random that it's almost that I would view it as a personal offense.
Sure. 100%. I actually think we should amend the question a little bit, because if you lived in Massachusetts, it would actually be a legitimate question. If you lived in somewhere in New England. But I think the better question is, would you be okay with your child rooting for a team other than the Jets? And that wouldn't be one of the direct rivals out there. LA, as you know, is sort of, more than probably any other big city, a mishmash, especially because they didn't have an NFL team for 20 years, where your son's going to be in first grade. I'm sure if you like polled the dads or all the parents, there would be 8 different rooting interests at least in the class.
There's going to be a Patriots
fan
and
a Giants fan
in Los Angeles, because even though the Rams and the Chargers are good, that people are not really,
right.
Everybody
it doesn't seem like they've made an inroads at all, in particular the Chargers.
Right. Everybody roots for a different team. So in terms of baseball, like if my kids were, for whatever reason, they wanted to be Dodgers fans or Angels fans, I wouldn't be actively angry with it. But do they root against the Mets?
Yeah, it is tricky. And it's one thing if it was, and just like to not to get too inside baseball, literally, if it's a team that's not their direct competition, if they're in the other league where they really never compete against them, it is tricky. I
like, if my kids were L.A. Rams super fans, and frankly, what 6 and 7 year olds aren't at this
jump
point.
On that bandwagon, Dominic.
Right.
It's perfect time. And when he's older, you could tell him, no, it's been since I was 5. Like, it had nothing to do with the fact that they were 11
and 1. And they're not Jets haters. Then, this would be, I mean, it's really, best case scenario in terms of NFC team. It's like they would be my second favorite team by proxy.
Sure.
And it would be something that I could, be along for the ride with them. But, if we're talking about like that, they became somehow radicalized against me and were Patriots fans that actively
root for ISIS.
They randomly selected out of, they could have been fans
the Yankees.
The Yankees thing would be like if we lived in New York and then all of their friends were Yankee fans and it became Yankee fans. I would even understand that more than if out of all the teams that you had to go and be a fan of the Patriots.
No, it's a shot at you. It would almost be like a punishment if you like grounded the kid or put them in time. And I was like, all right, I'm a Yankees fan now.
Right. So, I mean, the Yankee fans,
my girls
I can understand
don't
more.
Care. My girls don't care about sports. I tried. They like playing sports. They're okay with watching it, but they're not going to care. My 4-year-old son says sports are boring. But my 1-year-old seems like he wants to play ball all day. I wouldn't be surprised. He even will sit and watch a Jet game now and just say ball, ball, ball. So I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the sports fan of the four.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather my kids not like sports than like the Patriots or the Yankees, which is sort of counterintuitive because you want to have a mutual hobby. There's a group of dads here who they come over to my friend's house on football Sunday, and it's a father-son. It is a very nice bonding thing. I grew up my entire life going to Jets games with my father and my grandfather still, just did it a month ago. Like, it is a very fun, it is like a cool bonding thing for family, especially a type of family that I think you're familiar with also, that maybe sports is the only thing you could really speak about to a father or a grandfather. It's it's like the one bonding thing. But no, I'd rather give up sports entirely than have a child who roots for the Patriots or the Yankees. No hyperbole.
And Akiva, this is how I know that when I see people talk about in the news that kids don't hate, they're taught hate, and sure. I know that this is true because I teach hate here, and my kids didn't automatically hate teams like the New York Yankees. I had to instill that in them.
And it's also self-inflicted poverty. It's like you chose to grow up in the third world country of sports with the Mets and the Jets.
Right. Where I talk about the Mets and then, you know, and then we have a chorus of also that my younger says, and we don't like the Yankees. I say, yes, that's right. Because they stink. Yes. Yes. They really don't. But I have to teach them that. So, you know, even though, you know, and maybe they'll have this terrible moment where they realize that my whole life, my dad told me that the Yankees stink and they've actually won 27 championships and the Mets have only won.
Watch
two.
Out if he Googles the Yankees one day.
They might be destroyed when they find that out. But until then, you know, they can, you know, and this is how it's taught me a lot about, you know, all the different, you know, things that people have taught their children that are also incorrect. Yeah.
Stephen Rossi says, I'm grateful for the sacrifice you two are making, sharing your priceless wisdom with the masses. Yes. I guess this is a wrong email. I have a 2-year-old daughter, so perhaps this question is a little premature, but since there are no guarantees of a future dadcast, I'm taking advantage of this potentially once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get advice from these experts. My question comes concerning children's activities. There's going to come a day in the next few years, my wife and I feel that it's time for my daughter to get involved in some sort of activity, either music lessons, playing a sport. However, my concern is that all these activities seem to be extremely painful for me as a dad. For instance, if my daughter takes piano lessons, I'll constantly harass her to practice, then I'll have to endure the practice. On the other hand, I've learned from Bill Simmons, also his parenting guru, that letting my daughter play soccer will take over my life and potentially make me scream at small children. And mm-hmm. Don't get me started on dance recitals. Those things are eternal. I think he meant like infernal. And your kid is always in the last song, so you can't even leave early. Oh yeah, you can't leave early no matter what. So please help me when the time comes. What activity should I steer my daughter toward? I like this question.
Keeve, I just found out about the Bill Simmons Reddit also. Does he have, is there parenting advice on there?
No, it's very negative towards
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited.
It's extremely anti-Bill Simmons. Reddit in general is a very negative place for the most part.
Yeah,
but
I'm just glad that the RHAP Reddit doesn't see a lot of action.
I don't think it ever took off. Yeah, because it's very it's much thing. More anonymous than even thing. Twitter, Facebook. So I think it's a blessing. I'm at the stage where my kids are involved. I'm curious, are your kids getting involved in the sport? Well, are they leaning towards an activity?
My wife is like, oh, we need to sign the kids up for this, this activity, it's too many activities.
It becomes a lot. People can't even imagine like what my wife's nights are like, because my daughter is in fourth grade, but she does gymnastics really intended for like eighth graders. She gets home at 9 o'clock mm-hmm. at night, 9:15 if carpool, twice a week for school nights. That's insane. And the other two nights, she's in two different gymnastics, regular, like, you know, the Simone Biles type gymnastics and mm-hmm. rhythmic gymnastics. And they want to do other stuff, too. But that's four nights a week. She's getting home really late. And my daughter is on like a very serious travel basketball team.
Yeah.
They'll go to like faraway cities once a week. They have practice, I think, twice. It is insanely time consuming. So while I think the experts say like you should diversify, right? You should put your kids have them play the tuba and have them play soccer and have them do karate. It becomes very difficult to specialize in more than one sport. Once they're like kind of in second or third grade, in my opinion.
What I find is that this very busy calendar, the kids, they I don't think they really, oh, I get to go do this, go do this, go do this, go do this. And yeah. I find that the all of the, you know, appointments and the practice, I find this to be very stressful on my wife.
Yeah, 100%. Me too, especially because we're home, like, and sometimes you can help out even if you want to.
Yeah.
It's so much for my wife. It's her full-time job, and she doesn't work, but her full-time job is just ferrying the kids to these activities, and it's like, and she's busy doing it.
And we have the same conversation with every single new activity. She's like, I want to sign the kids up for this class, and I say, all right, does it impact me in any way? She's like, no, I'll be taking them to all of this stuff, and I say, okay, Great. And then, you know, inevitably, you know, it's the day that that's happened. She's stressed out. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And really, if I have a choice ever between my kids are happy or my wife is happy, 100 times out of 100, I side with I want my wife to be happy, and I don't care. I would rather my kids are miserable, but my wife is happy, because that impacts me directly way more.
Yes.
Because
Then your kid hitting a home run in the game or something.
That's 100 times better than if my kids are thrilled and my wife is mad. Is, you know, that's the worst case scenario. And also unequivocally, that if there's some debate between my kids and my wife, I am 100% on my wife's side. I am with you guys are wrong. She's right. All right. Now, I wish I could say it was the other way around, where if I have a disagreement with my kids, then my wife comes in and I'm wrong and the kids are right. That's also...
No, I can assure you that's not going to happen.
Yes. That unfortunately, you know, that's often the case. But all I want is my wife to be happy. And, and you know...
Yeah, but it's harder than it sounds.
It's so hard. And so I really would... that's why I want less activities. Less activities, more... Whatever it's going to take to keep my wife happy, that's what I'm invested in. Less so than the activities.
What I found also, which is cool, especially for kids, like gaining a lot of confidence out there. You're out in L.A. It's probably a competitive environment. There's probably, you know, like helicopter parents putting their kids in 30 activities. If you find a kid your thing that your kid is good at, I think it's really good to sort of like strengthen that strength also. Like my, you know, my daughter tried a bunch of things. She got a guitar. Someone bought her a fancy guitar. Never once, it's still in the case, it's in my way, also it's back here in my office, never been touched. I don't even know what it looks like. It's never been out of the case once, because she never got lessons. But my daughter, like, being the best in her school, probably in the whole city, her age at gymnastics, like, that, you know, the thing about the confidence boost that is for her, like, that and the kids know, and the teachers say, hey, do like a split for me, like, that's a big deal. I didn't have that thing other than sports knowledge. I don't know if you had a thing that you were the best at. Like, people would, like, call me on the phone who I didn't know and ask me about, like, who the seventh man for, like, the 1989 Portland Trailblazers was. So I guess that was a little bit of a confidence boost, but also knew my parents thought that was, like, dorky and didn't care. And, like, certainly now my wife, like, wishes I didn't know this stuff.
Yeah,
but that was the only thing I was, like, the best at.
Keith, growing up, no.
Maybe your thing was having no things. You were, like, the guy who was sort of...
Yeah, it was a real Ashley Nolan.
Yeah, and I don't know what. So you don't think, is there like a sport or something your boys are leaning to, or you don't know yet?
No, nothing. No sport yet.
My daughter is tall because her dad is so tall that like it was very easy to just put her in basketball, and she likes it. And basketball is like, it's great exercise. It's fun. It's better being on a team. Like, gymnastics is nice, but like you're literally competing against your friends. Like, you're trying to beat them every day. That's a little tricky.
Did you imply that there is some controversy around
Alexander Chester is my daughter's father?
Yeah,
it was a joke. No. I'm short. My wife is very short, but I have a tall daughter.
Okay.
So that's some advice for Steven. But yeah, when you're like 3 or 4, try stuff out. Brent the Shower Man. I thought this was interesting.
Have we solved anything there? Jealous. I mean, I would like to instill that, you know, I feel like that people don't think that this is my philosophy, but my life's goal is that my wife is happy.
I think that's, you know, we're doing mostly parenting advice here, but I think in terms of like dealing with your significant other advice, like there's no, I don't know if I've said this on a podcast before, and I hope my parents don't listen to this stuff, but like my parents have never had a fight in their whole life. They've never had one fight. I've never seen them fight one time.
Wow.
Or even like mildly argue. And that's because my dad's whole philosophy in life is like, if his wife, my mom, is happy, then he'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Like if she's mad, at least she's mad at like, you know, someone at work or some rival school or something. Like, that's better even, that you're mad but not mad at you. Mm-hmm. But that's his whole philosophy in life. Like, and he'll give in on things, and I'm sure some people are like, oh, what a wimp. Like, I can't believe you'd give in on that. And I've probably even said that to him. But, like, he's laughing less because he's way happier than anybody else because his wife, like, likes him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think there's definitely... We probably are doing the same thing. We're just exceptionally bad at it.
Yeah, I'm bad at it.
We think we're like, oh, I just do anything for you. But we're so bad, our wives don't even believe that's our goal, right? Like, they think, like, no, you're only out for number one. You're only looking out for yourself. When, like, you don't understand, Nicole. Like, I'm trying to make you happy. I'm just like a 0 out of 10 at it sometimes, I guess. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I do think that's the best advice.
She turns it around and says, no, you don't actually want me to be happy. You just don't like it when I'm mad because I yell at you.
Yeah, you're placating
you're
me.
You're selfish. No, yes, no, no.
You just want to end the fight. You'll say anything to end like, being yelled
at. You just don't want me to be mad.
Yeah, this sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm. You might be in the same marriage. All right. Brent, the shower man, says, my dad is great for many reasons, but perhaps my favorite one is that he videotaped a lot when I was a kid.
Oh.
Highlights include a bus stop interview with my brother and I every first day of school, sporting events, and, of course, Christmas and other holidays. Long story short, I now own... Everyone's going to get extremely jealous of Brent the Shower Man right now. A 12-DVD set of nearly every important moment of my life from childhood to age 18. Yes, my dad is a bit extra, and I haven't watched them yet, but I'm really grateful to have them. Wait. So you guys ever videotape or otherwise memorialize moments from your kids' lives? What are your thoughts on, especially now that we live in such a social media-driven world?
Can you reset that? What is the collection from Brent the Shower Man?
A 12-DVD set of like every moment, including interviews on the first day of school. Basically, he's got like a highlight clip of his whole life. Like what we assume we're going to get when we go up to heaven, or like when they explained to us more likely why we're in hell, like here's what you guys did.
Right. And how often does Brent the Shower Man access the 12 DVD set?
I think he's admitting he doesn't watch it.
Yeah,
but he's smart enough to know that it's cool that he has it, and maybe he'll appreciate it one day when he's older.
Yeah, that's the thing about you know, that I do think it's like quality over quantity with a lot of
the
videos.
I mean, I say that to my wife all the time. It's just also practical. Like, if you have, first of all, like a phone, or my wife even busts out like the big time video camera, like the old school fancy video camera for like, you know, gymnastic shows. Like, you're gonna edit these? Like, you're gonna do you even like write what's on there? Or you're gonna have to take a year off the work. Just kidding. And like, just go through all of them. Like, when are we going to get down? My wife's mom has hundreds of VHSs from when they were little.
Yeah.
But they're like, what are you going to do with them? They're VHSs. So I'm like, you should have someone do them. And she's like, nah, there's like too many. I don't know what's on them. And so one time I'm like, I did say, like, you're never going to watch any of them. One time I said, you know what? I never watched. Let's put this to the test. I never watched a basketball game with my wife. Like, she was the captain of high school basketball team. She was very good. To me, it would be extremely cool to watch a game from when she was in high school. I would actually sit and enjoy watching her. She's 5'2", getting, you know, in the South Florida Sun Sentinels. Like, Maris Seligman gets 21 points, 18 rebounds. I'd love to see a 21-18 game for my wife. No, I don't know which one is it. So you won't throw out the 700 VHSs, but you can't, you also are refused to, like, even, you're incapable of finding.
Send it all away with Legacy Box, Keeve.
I know. I they should, but listen, that's not what that type of person does. They just keep stuff. It's for the museum, like I told you. One day, they'll be like Andy Warhol. One day, someone will just go through all their junk and hopefully digitize it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Brent the Showerman, I think one should realize how lucky he is. That's pretty sweet. And two, no, obviously we don't have those for ourselves, and I don't think we do that for our kids. Yeah. Is your wife a big recorder,
though?
Yes.
Well, she's a big recorder with the phone. And I
with
do
the
think
phone,
that the phone
but,
does...
But, like, the phone's going to break one day, and it's probably not
no, but we,
up.
We upload all this stuff to the iCloud.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you're 10 steps ahead of us, because I always hear, like...
Yeah,
that,
so
well, lost ages 4 to 6.
And I will say that with the things like facial recognition, I do think that is one area where, you know, technology has really improved things. Where, you know, both of my sons that I could see, like, you know, like photos like within seconds of, okay, here's them when they were, you know, when they were born. It was my younger son's third birthday. I was able to, you know, very quickly look at what did Dominic look like on his third birthday, and so between the dates and the face recognition and stuff like that, that is an area where we've made you know, a ton of improvements. And just even like the if you have the pictures that you know, hold down the photo and they come to life for a second, and it's great. That is an area where technology has improved our lives, except for the fact that then people are like, you know, nobody actually has a genuine moment. Everybody's, you know, recording it with their phone.
Yeah, it is tricky. And even like, yeah, we would go to the thing and then my wife would have to like hold one of the babies and I'd be like recording instead of really watching like a gymnastics performance.
Yeah, but then
or
you watch it
game.
Later.
No, I'm never going to watch it later. That's never going to happen. Yeah, it is. I don't videotape anything. The one cool thing my wife does is she makes like those Snapfish type books.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, like, that's not good. We have 10 million of those and my kids like rip the pages out of them.
Right. So, yeah, but she's pretty protective. Again, one of the benefits of sort of being very into stuff is she doesn't let them, like, even, you know, she has to almost, like, watch them. But she's got one for every season. There's literally books I'm not in because I don't, you know, I'm not around that much.
Yeah.
But we got all Seinfeld recapped, right? Yes, that is true. My kids can have that. That could be their inheritance.
And they can listen to it whenever they want, and all the episodes are labeled.
No question.
They're all in a podcast feed.
That's true. That's true. It'll be there forever. It's never going to, like, go away off some network, and we're not going to be able to find them. Can someone, like, download all those episodes just in case someone, like...
Yes. Actually, what they should do, maybe Brent the Shower Man's dad, if he's listening, he can download all of the Seinfeld podcasts, put them on DVDs, and then make four sets for Akiva's kids.
Yes. Well, I think one is fine.
They can share it?
Yeah. I think they'll be able to split that up. Stephanie has a question for us. So excited for the Dadcast. I'm looking for holiday gift ideas for my husband, a new dad. We have a six-month-old daughter. We want to get him something to show how much we appreciate everything he does.
Okay.
Any ideas or what's the best gift you've gotten from your quote-unquote kids over the years? I have a philosophy, and I don't know if you're going to agree with this. And for just the fact that Stephanie's, like, very into this, I think is a good sign. I don't know anything about Christmas, so this might be a total no-no. And I think for birthdays, people don't like my opinion on this also. Why can't you ask?
Ask me. I will tell you exactly what I want.
And I'll be practical. I will say, like, if my wife came in right now and said, like, hey, what do you want for Hanukkah, or what do you want for your birthday if I didn't just have present, already get nothing? I think I would say I would be practical. Like, my keyboard broke. I would just, like, get me a new keyboard or, you know, like – there's no chance she could read my mind and know what I'm going to want. I'm always going to. So just ask me.
Yeah.
Especially if you're buying something expensive that the person might not like.
Yeah. I would say, ask him. Ask him what he wants, please.
Or if he has, like, a really good friend or his mom or dad, if they know better. Yeah. Better. Like, I care less. And other people will definitely disagree with me. I care way less about the surprise. And, like, if I'm going to get something, especially if you're getting, like, one or two big presents a year, I want some input on it.
We're
going to make a list and then work from there.
Yes. Yes. Amen, Akiva.
Like, my wife once she got me a nice watch, and it was very nice, but, like, it wouldn't have been in the top 50 things I wanted, you know?
Yes.
Just because, like, I'm more practical with gifts also. It's like, oh, I need this thing.
I hear you.
Couple more questions. Ariel's got a bunch. Let's rip through them. She asked about screen time. We already did that. What ages do you think your kids will get their own cell phones? She wants to know.
I don't know. Who knows
Your kids are younger. Yeah. So my kids get cell phones in first grade because when you were a kid, I don't know if you ever had to, like, do you ever go to the principal's office or the secretary and, like, have to call your mom and say something? Or, like, get called out?
Yeah,
is that a private school thing?
Public schools maybe not allow that because
they're too big?
You know, if you had to, you know, communicate with your parents, I do think that you could go to the principal's office and make that happen.
And the schools don't want that. There's, like, 600 kids in school. So, and let's say my daughter want, like, some kid wants to make a play date with my daughter after school.
So this,
like, that's
is
great.
School
that's
policy or this is what you guys do?
No, but it's annoying. And you don't want to have the one kid who's, like, in the principal, the secretary's office six times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids get dumb phones in first grade, which I think all of their friends do. They're on a very basic plan. They're not allowed to use them.
So they're on basically you have a flip phone.
They have flip phones, but it's literally just for calling. Like, there's no other thing, and they don't call their friends because their friends are in school with them. It's just like, hey, I forgot my lunch, or hey, you know, hey, can I go to Sally's house after school?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But so, and then my older daughter doesn't have a smartphone yet. She's really one of the only ones, and we're holding out, but, I don't know. Maybe she'll get. Maybe she'll be excited come Hanukkah time in a month. Hopefully, she's not listening.
Okay.
Another question from Ariel: if you get right, knowing what you know right now, if you had to guess, what profession do you think your kids would choose right now? It's an interesting question.
My kids are so small that it's Dominic has been asked this question at school, and his answer that he has given is that he's going to be a wheel fixer guy. So what are you talking about? A wheel
so
fixer
from
guy.
Dominic.
What
does that mean, a mechanic?
Yeah, what wheels are breaking? He's like, oh, wow. You know, a wheel fixer guy. But then
that's very specific.
I think he's also said podcaster on occasion. That's yeah. Something he's going. He's,
usually kids say their dad's
he's
job.
He's
going
to do.
So.
I believe Ninja has been said at my house also.
Ninja, the Fortnite player?
No,
like he makes
actual,
a lot of money.
Like the martial.
Oh yeah, that's not.
Arts.
No. Tell him you should be more like Ninja, the Fortnite player. Make some money.
So they don't really
support old dad.
No. The idea of a full-time occupation.
Yes. Yeah, I remember they asked this question when we were in kindergarten. They made us like a fancy kindergarten yearbook, I remember, and Michael Adler said he wanted to be a garbage man. And then for like all of elementary school, that was like his thing. He was like the garbage man.
Classic Michael Adler.
Yeah, classic Michael Adler. I think he went to high school with Chester. I said policeman.
Yeah.
No, I said fixer, because my grandfather
like a
was
wheel
an
fixer.
Artist. Yeah, I said fixer, but my grandfather was an artist, but
like a Michael Cohen.
Yeah, exactly. My one that would be very specific. Like which person in the Trump administration do you want here? So I think my daughter said she wants to be a teacher, and she's like old enough to sort of have an idea. 13. My 9-year old, I have no idea, and my 5-year old, I don't know. He comes home and he calls the dining room table's office in his art projects all day. So he'll probably do something artsy.
Mm-hmm.
He also his project was so elaborate last week that we had to like pull out a folding table and have dinner because he had the entire dining room table like just with his projects. My wife literally came to the back room here.
Yeah.
And pulled out a folding table. I was like, oh, our son is not allowed. Look, I don't know about your house, but the kids really rule the roost here. We're just along for the ride. They're in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Okay. Two more questions and then we're done. Okay. Ben from Philly says, as a son of overprotective parents, I'm curious how you two handle managing your kid's safety. Do you have experiences letting your kids fail or even get, or he probably meant fall, or even get injured to make them stronger in the long run? Or do you take the more protective approach?
I think that's hard to do, but I do think that you, I try to be like in the middle of the road on these mm-hmm. things where I think that there is a balance between, you know, over purelling and, you know, safety everywhere. And then also, you know, letting them fail to a degree. Like, I think that the philosophy on parenting that I have is trying to just find that middle line where you're just trying to not screw the kid up, I think. So you don't want to be too strict, but you don't want to be too loosey-goosey and you don't want to, push them too hard, but then you also don't want to, you know, just let them do their own thing. And I think that just try to steer that middle ground enough so that they don't grow up, you know, in a therapist's office just talking about how you destroyed them.
You know what it is also like when your kids are going to be old enough where their friends will have opinions about you when they're in like 7th or 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be the party house where it's like, oh, let's go to this Hester Nino's because they let anything go. But you also don't want to be like the losers who it's like, oh, no. Like they don't, you know, you have to put down like 4 mats before you put a glass down and they make you take off their shoes. And they, you don't want the parents who police. And I had friends like that also. Big time. But then you also had the friends who were like, you know, their parents were never home. You don't want to be either of those parents. You want to be just in the middle there.
Yeah. Middle is good.
Yes. We strive for mediocrity here at RANAP.
Yeah.
A quick one from Andrew that just came in. Akiva's childhood correspondent, Andrew. What would your rules be for letting your kids stay up late for sporting events? This is probably a little bit more relevant to me than you at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when the Mets were in the World Series, his sons were 9 and 6. Nice. He let them stay up for the conclusion of the half inning after 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Off topic, he says, the veterinarian and the rabbi, that's his dad and my dad, bumped into each other at a wedding this past week, but they did not discuss the doggy draft. That's a throwback for this NFL list.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel, by the way, I'm very, you probably know this because I've sometimes recorded with like, kind of late with like kids yelling in the background. We're not that strict with bedtimes here when it's not a school night.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys very strict with bedtimes? You're very consistent with them?
My wife is very strict with the bedtime where if we're,
I think that's good. I think structure is good.
5-10 minutes off, you know, she is beside herself in terms of.
Can you say what the bedtime is?
That she, I think. Has a like a 7 p.m. It depends. It really depends on what's going on.
You know what?
On.
It's tricky because our kids are such different age. Like my kids are such different from each other. Mm-hmm. Like obviously, I can't put the 12-year-old to sleep at the same time as the 1-year-old. We're almost on like 3 different shifts here.
Yeah,
with like the little boys, the my daughter, who literally can't go to sleep before 9:15, the 9-year-old, because she's out doing exercise. And then the 12-year-old who's got like homework and projects and you know, and basketball games. And so we're at like totally different times. But I was always allowed to go to sleep late. And also, I think I've mentioned this, that my parents gave me cable TV when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of like fell asleep every night watching the Met game. But I stayed up way later than any other kid. And my dad said it, the biggest mistake he ever made in his life was putting cable TV in my room. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I think it was like, because then became like everything was about sports. I like my parents could never say like, hey, you have to go to sleep. You can't watch the end of the Met game or the Jet game or, you know, if it was Monday Night Football or something. Like the last time they said it to me, I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Andrew, who's writing in, Andrew came to my house. His parents went on vacation when we had just turned 10 and we stayed up. We watched the Joe Carter home run in 1993. That was like 11 something at night. Like my parents would never. And I like think about that now, like my kids are older than that. And like in theory, I wouldn't let them do that. But I was sort of always allowed to stay up late. Like sports sort of, you know, went above the rules. But probably that was bad. I probably should have been more well-rounded.
Yeah. I mean, if there was any sporting event that my kids were interested enough in watching that they wanted to stay up late at night, I would not have a problem with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, last question. Vince says, at what point does swearing around your children become socially acceptable? Rob's kids are still young, so I know that he's nowhere close to this, but perhaps Akiva has experience with this. Vince was at a party this weekend where grandma was freely using the B and S words, Bill and Simmons, around her early teenage granddaughters, and it didn't seem to be a big deal. Has society's attitude on this changed dramatically since we grew up in the 80s and 90s?
It's interesting. I do think that it was more of a rarity to hear any sort of swear words like in popular culture, you know, outside of, you know, in movies and PG-13. And now I kind of feel like between Netflix and stuff like that, that I just feel like that the swearing is not to blame Netflix.
Even the clean Netflix shows, probably if you're I think we're so. We're so desensitized to it that I don't even know. Like my wife has like, I've listened to like Doughboys or something, which can get very racy. And I'm not even thinking. My wife will come in and like, do you know what they're discussing? Like you have to shut this off and never listen to it again. But then I'll put on something that, which I would consider PG, like Bill Simmons. And he drops like the F word a lot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even occur
to
me. So my daughter walked in.
Advice.
Yeah, my daughter, yes, it's his kid saying it. My daughter walked in to the room and Bill Simmons said the F word. And my daughter, I guess, I didn't even know if she knew the F word, the 9-year-old, I guess I knew she did. And she's like, oh, he just said the F word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no. He said he was talking about David Fudge. He's a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying like, no, like that his mother was at the game. Mm-hmm. Fudge is my, and like, I was like totally being serious. I'm like, no, like, trust me, I would not listen. Like, I don't listen to like the shows with curse words, and he's a nice guy, Bill Simmons. He wouldn't say that.
It's not what I read on I was Bill Simmons Reddit.
Yeah, I thought it was in the clear. Mm-hmm. And then later on I hear, mommy, daddy was listening to the guy say the F word a lot. So
a lot.
I think that like, that's the last lesson I could leave you with, but like, don't lie to your kids. Cause kids are so good at seeing through lies. Like, you think that you've gotten over them, but they don't believe you. They just won't like say anything right then.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm very anti-cursing. I don't think I've ever cursed on a podcast. I asked my dad recently because someone else in the family was cursing, and I said, and he was like annoyed about it. He's a rabbi. He doesn't curse. And I said, Dad, have you ever heard me curse once? He said, no, I've never heard you curse once.
Yeah.
So that's really my philosophy on it. I don't know if my wife has the same philosophy, but I don't think it's cute when kids curse. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, for shock value in a movie, sure.
And Jerry Maguire, it's cute. Yeah. But I don't think, like, unless they're getting paid. If my kids, you could pay my kids to say anything. That's fine. But
I tend to not. I'm sure there's been a time or two when, you know, I've said an obscenity on a podcast or being recorded somewhere. And, you know, in the times that I've done it, it may just be, you know, because I think that it's for a very funny effect because I don't do it, or I might do it and then bleep myself in post-production because I think that's funny. But you know, when Howard Stern used to be on terrestrial radio, you know, he would talk about this more, and Jerry Seinfeld has also, you know, talked about this, where, you know, that anything that you want to say, you know, there's a way to say it without using a couple of specific words. And often I find it can be funnier to say what you're trying to say without saying it. And I think that you and I are on the same page with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for me. All right. I'm saying cursing, not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the dad cast.
All right. Did we solve anything?
I don't know. We'll let people say. I have no idea what people will think. Maybe it was too serious. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Okay. So
maybe
here, let me in summary try to say because I think that we're on the same page with a lot of things.
Here?
Okay. That I think that you and I are both on the same page in terms of like when it comes to parenting, there is no absolutes here, and you very much, you know, use your best judgment on anything, because I think that with these super strict guidelines, I think you're more likely to screw the kid up with the absolutes than sort of
Definitely do too much, for sure. Look at your friends and yourself, and like look at the people you admire turned out, and like how did their parents treat them? Were they over the top? Probably not, if they're like the people you admire the most. But they also probably weren't like latchkey kids who never were, who the parents were never home. So I'd say like look at the people you admire, your peers or from when you were a kid, and like
who
what
turned
did they
out
do?
Good.
That probably worked. Yeah,
how'd
exactly.
That
who turned out good? And also the opposite, like
who turned
your
out
friends
bad?
Who turned out really poorly, like maybe sort of avoid some of the things they did.
Yeah. And don't make yourself crazy. And, try to spend as much time with your kids and then still be able to, you know, get stuff done and try to figure out the balance of being around for them. But then also, being able to provide for them in a meaningful way and keep your significant other happy, if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the best advice we could give, even though it's not. Technically parenting advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just, overall advice. All right. Keeve, are you ready to get into talking about the wheel?
Yeah, I think because the reaction last week was pretty big, and I think for whatever reason, people have been pretty positive. We got a lot of stuff. So let's maybe pick out. Should we like stop the mailbag every week when we put something on the wheel? Or
stop
no?
the mailbag when we put something on the wheel. How do you mean?
Should we have like a one wheel per week other than maybe the season 3, episode 7 stuff or no?
No, I think we could put two or three things on the wheel if they came out. How do you think that went, by the way?
I have no idea. I also think like we're too self-deprecating. I think we should stop like declaring every episode bad or good during the podcast. Like I don't
know. Part of the charm.
Sarah,
yeah,
I know that's part of the charm. But I was also thinking like, do you think Sarah Koenig's like, all right, season 2, episode 1 of Serial? Like
that's one of the problems with Serial.
Yeah. She was like, was this as good as the Adnan stuff? Like on the air. Then maybe that would have solved the show, right?
Was this good? I don't know. What do you guys think? Are we getting closer? Did we solve anything?
Is going to true crime?
Do you guys even like this anymore? What's going on? Is this? Are we just spinning our wheels? I mean, did a guy really kill somebody? And I'm trying to now make it look like he didn't? What if I'm wrong? By the way, we want to thank our sponsor, MailChimp, also helping maybe a guy who killed somebody get away with it. I don't know. What do you think? Okay.
All right. Yes. All right. The Serial parodies never get old. What do you think of the SNL? They really hit close to home. SNL did a podcast awards parody this week,
yes.
And I literally just referenced a pretend podcast awards that I met Josh Wigler at last week called the Podcasties, and they also threw out some real RANAP references. They talked about an ALF podcast, which maybe one day next week we'll do.
That was funny. I thought that it was a good concept. I don't know if they nailed the
also very inside baseball. Like we liked it, but I like did the non podcast listener have any interest in that?
The one thing I thought that was the best joke that they did, where it was like the most awkward pivot to a sponsor. I think that. It's, and there's so much politics podcasting. I do think that it is because I've listened to my share of, political podcasts, and the joke was like they're talking about like, basically, civilization as we know it is over. All right. Blue Apron. Let's talk about that. And I think it's very hard to, continue with, that, this is today is, it's all over today. And then, continue on and have a show next time.
It was fine, but it was a little inside baseball. Okay, so one of the things in the wheel waiting room, which is getting very large, was an idea of actor versus actor. I forget whose idea it was, but the original idea was we should do a...
Oh, could I just weigh in? I feel like that the response on this podcast, I feel like a mixed bag, middle of the road.
I don't think anybody's going to hate it.
Yeah, maybe my wife.
Well, let me ask you a question. This is our 10th podcast. Should people, in addition to writing in their ideas, should they rank our top 10 for us?
Oh, like that'd be good. 10 or trash. 10. Yeah, get us a bonus.
Yeah, for next week for the mailbag, let us know. And we won't read all of them, but we'll get a general idea of what people liked and what they don't like. You could rank them from 1 to 10.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. The dad cast, probably a good listen, but I don't know if it's anybody's favorite.
I think it's in the middle. I think on the top, it won't be in the favorites, but it almost certainly won't be anybody's least
Nobody's
favorite.
Nobody's re-listening to it.
There are people, I'm surprised how many people message us, like, with the Seinfeld one. I mean, there are people who email us and say, like, oh, I've listened to Seinfeld. Like, there's, you know, truck drivers who just, like, I guess need stuff to listen to. Mm-hmm. Like, I've listened to every episode on repeat, basically. I just, when they finish, they keep going again.
Yeah.
It's honored. Yeah, I agree. I don't think this episode will get that sort of feedback, but who knows? Maybe we're wrong. So the actor versus actor idea was originally Cate Blanchett versus Kate Winslet, but I just don't care about Cate Blanchett. A couple people wrote in ideas. I wanted to hear what you think about them. Leanne Walker says, what about doing the Chris Wars? Chris Pine versus Chris Evans versus Chris Hemsworth versus Chris Pratt.
So I don't know if I'm the right person, but I know that you're not the right person for the Chris Wars.
What about the person who emailed us and said that we should do the Stan Lee podcast?
Yeah. Akiva, have you seen any movie featuring a Stan Lee character?
No, can you play the Mike Francesa clip about Stan Lee?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be really upset about this. I'll play it because it's really it's really funny. But Mike Francesa is just to give. Can you give the quick bio on who Mike Francesa is? Because this is going to be a trigger warning for a lot of people.
Yes, yeah. So Mike Francesa is a curmudgeonly but legendary New York sports talk radio host. He's essentially the first of all the. You know, in your city, you probably have like these guys who you know, shout and they're probably a big old fat guy. And he's the original of these guys. He's most famous for falling asleep on air. One time someone called up and said, how do you think Al Albuquerque's doing? And that was the name of a real player. But Mike was convinced it's a fake name. It was like a Moe's Tavern type fake phone call. And I'd say Mike doesn't have his fastball anymore. And it's very he fell asleep on air. He quit and then came back and started an app for $9 a month, which is the same price as Netflix. Maybe only 30 people download. We're not sure.
The best case reporting is that like 870 people.
He's maybe past his prime, but he's still out there.
And he came back to his old job for half the salary because he was going to make the money back.
Imagine Rob doing this podcast for season 124 of Survivor. And that's basically what you'd have.
Someone
called him up with a question, and you should know, I think it's important to know, Mike is very he only wants to talk about sports other than maybe old movies or once a year talking about JFK, who he's obsessed with.
He's
a G-rated show. He's never said a bad word in his life. He doesn't curse. There's no guy talk ever. It's not PG, it's G-rated. There's no guy talk, no locker room talk, nothing other than sports. And sports means just baseball, the NFL, and the NBA in the playoffs. That's the only things you're allowed to talk about in
the
show.
There was never like a Mike and the Mad Dog that they talked about, like Raquel Welch or anything like that.
That's an old movie. They'll talk about that.
All right.
And they love the Oscars. They will talk about Oscar movies and TV ratings. There's a couple weird things, but they don't have a wide base of interest.
This should be
even
a clip of Akiva explains what Mike Francesa is.
I mean, I could give you a 10,000
explain Mike Francesa to me like I'm five.
Yes. I mean, if you call up and ask a question about hockey, he hangs up on you. Like, he's only interested in talking about two or three sports, and that's it.
So, all right. This is from, I'm not sure if it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week. I know today's Wednesday. So it's Monday.
Whatever the greatest day of my life was.
Yes. Okay. This is a caller calls in to get Mike's reaction to the passing of the legend Stan Lee.
Eddie in Hoboken. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee?
The guy who created Spider-Man. That was his
name. Created Spider-Man? Sorry. I never was a comic book reader as a kid. I apologize. Never.
Hey, Mike, my grandma just got run over by a horse. She's dead. What do you have to say? Oh, who cares? Was she on the Knicks? Sorry, don't care.
Very sad, the passing of Stan Lee. A lot of people upset this week about that. But
yes. And then he tweeted. The thing is, he doesn't know that like any of his like thing, because he doesn't understand the internet. He just joined Twitter like a month ago, and he doesn't read replies. So he doesn't know that like anything he says is immortalized. Like when he fell asleep on air, he said it didn't happen, even though you could watch the video of him falling asleep. So he tweeted the next day and said, for the record, all I said when a caller brought up passing of Stan Lee was, who is he? Not familiar with his work. never bought a comic. Never have liked science, sci-fi, or superheroes. I didn't disrespect his passing.
Yeah.
So. All right, so he you heard it from him. He did not disrespect his passing.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, look, it's for moments like that. I am very happy to continue to have Mike Francesa in my life.
I mean, it's great. No, I would be very sad when he's gone, and I would be even sadder if I had to pay $8.99 to listen to him, which I probably would if it was my
WFAN
laptop.
Right now, and I know we are losing people left and
goodbye, Marianne.
Left and right. but the infighting at WFAN really
that's a separate show.
No, it's incredible right now. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, right. So we got the Chris Wars. So you're saying that's not my thing. So
yeah, Mike Francesa might be a better person to weigh in on the Chris Wars.
Yeah. So you're saying that's not... Oh, what about Damon versus Affleck? Someone else wrote in. That was Casey says, Damon versus Affleck going point by point through their careers of the two best friends. His money's on Matt Damon.
Would you be excited when we came on and...
It's a good question. I think now that we've done 10 of these, that's a good gauge. Like, would we be pumped that week? Like, this week, we're excited. Also, this was kind of an easy week. We didn't have to watch anything. I just had to, like, collect emails.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be last on the list. What do people think? Write in it. If people are interested in this, we could put it on the wheel or at least something like this. Would people care about Affleck versus Damon? And also, like, I don't know if the timing's right for Affleck versus Damon. Does anybody care now? Plus, Affleck, like, I'm not sure how great of a guy he is also.
I'll start a thread on the Bill Simmons Reddit and then see if we get the ball rolling.
What about the RHAP Reddit?
way more exciting on the Bill Simmons Reddit.
That would be funny. Oh, Affleck versus Damon, what do you guys think? Yeah. Or should we podcast about it? I'm a podcaster. Don't worry. We don't suck like Bill Simmons.
Would it get upvoted? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it would be downvoted immediately. Probably removed because it really
is. What about
has
this for an
Bill
idea
Simmons.
On the wheel? We go through all the threads on the Bill Simmons Reddit.
I just don't think it's active enough, the Bill Simmons Reddit. Okay. I think it is a funny idea. There is something there, but I'm not sure that's the exact idea.
Yeah, well,
it was a weird. Simmons had Damon on for a long interview, and Matt Damon. This isn't even so funny, but Matt Damon was talking about. Did you hear it? Did you hear that interview?
Which one, Bill Simmons?
The Matt Damon on Bill Simmons.
Definitely
interview.
Not.
Oh, so he was like talking about Harvey Weinstein, who's like the main figure in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to mention him without like every time saying, like,
right.
"Oh, but he's the world's biggest monster."
Sure the point of the interview was like, I don't know him.
Right, except like you.
Like,
in
people think
the story
I know
of his career,
him, but I didn't.
No,
I
didn't even do
him.
That. He was saying like he's saying he didn't know, which whatever. But also like in every story, like how do you get Good Will Hunting? Well, you have to talk about Harvey Weinstein for 3 minutes. It was very weird. I almost like wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strange one there. Here's an idea.
I do like the idea of your subreddit is trash, but I don't know how to then not. Then well,
but then we'd get rough.
Yeah,
the RHAP Reddit would be brigaded at that point. What if we just go through the Survivor subreddit?
Well,
I'm not ballsy enough for the Big Brother subreddit.
Right. It would be hard to do it and then not antagonize the subreddit.
True, true, true. If someone has like an idea along those lines, let us know. But I'm not sure if I don't know. Peter Zaragoza from Chicago.
Yeah.
Says, are you familiar with the podcast? I was there too.
Just one. It would have to be like that's why I think that like the idea of the Bill Simmons subreddit would be funny because I feel like that I might agree with a lot of the takes there.
Sure, I think I would too.
Like,
I think we lose. Is this podcast just for Alexander Chester and like Brent Farenkoff at that point? Like, is that all we're doing?
Right. Right. Okay.
It's like for like
all
three
right.
people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Marianne is not going to listen to that episode. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And all these sports haters. I don't know. So I was there, too, as a podcast, if you're not familiar, Rob, where a guy just interviews people who are in a movie about the movie. But they could have been like an extra. They could have been like a caterer. More often than not, they're like the 14th lead of the movie.
Okay.
Or like so it's like, hey, Paul F. Tompkins, you were on the set of There Will Be Blood for a few days. We're just going to talk about There Will Be Blood. So his idea, and this probably is a good idea for you, but not for RANAP, but I'll still read it to you because I think it's a cool idea. I was there too, Survivor Edition. I don't know if there's anything left in your tank after TOS, but it could be fun to rewatch an episode of Survivor Amazon and do live commentary over it. Some of the best moments in TOS are your behind-the-scenes stories. So that really has nothing to do with me. But I do like the idea of an I Was There Too for Survivor where you just have, like, what if someone comes on and like watches their boot episode with you and talks about it. That might be a fun idea from like season 11 or something.
I mean,
on the podcast.
Yeah, it might be a fun Survivor idea, but yeah, not something for here.
Okay. DJ LaBelle Klein writes in with an idea.
I didn't even know he listened to this podcast.
I mean, who knows? We also don't know who he is. He might be like our main listener. I don't know. Robin Akiva invent an Olympic sport. The IOC comes to you to invent the best new sport for optimal TV, youth, and international appeal. What does that look like? Is there an existing sport you'd propose adapt? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? So we're allowed to either put a sport in the Olympics or invent a sport.
Yeah. This sounds like an episode of 32 Fans.
Yeah, it does sound like that a little bit. His other idea, DJ LeBuckline, is a fictional character, Royal Rumble.
Okay.
A listener, and he nominates himself, aggregates a list of 30 characters who enter the ring at timed intervals or as needed. You commentate but don't know who's next until they enter. Will physical prowess reign? What rules, limits apply?
I wish there was like a Brandt Steel of the Royal Rumble.
But maybe DJ LaBelle Klein, who we know is a very talented guy, for people who don't know, he writes in songs to Rob's podcast. Maybe he could do that. If he's willing, let's have him get back to us. If he's willing to sort of figure out a way to do that, even if he's randomizing it,
yeah,
then maybe there's something there.
Who are the people that are in the Rumble, Keeve?
Fictional. So I don't know. Is that fictional? Like, because some people say, hey, you should do one of those fake Survivor seasons with, like, the Leprechaun and Eric Tomlinson, all the random characters from this podcast. But then there's people who want, like, Bugs. Maybe does he mean, like, Homer Simpson and Bugs Bunny? So let us know what you mean. Grace has also written in a couple
good
times
God.
The Rumble idea.
That's Woody Woodpecker's music.
That's right. What would Woody what that's he's got a perfect theme song. But we'd also have to come up with like intro music for some of these people. We need a little bit more, but I think that could maybe get on. Maybe Grace also reach out to DJ LaBelle Klein because she's written in a couple times about
the old Royal Rumble
idea. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which is also, an idea eventually, if this podcast goes forever, and Lord knows it won't, I think we would eventually get to
see,
Royal
I think
Rumble.
That might be a sequel to watching the old Royal Rumble.
So I think you're saying first we should do the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, where if the Royal Rumble is a success, for some reason, people enjoy us. Yeah. I don't even think it's on the wheel, by the way.
The Royal Rumble's on the waiting room because you said we can't do it till the 20s. It's too niche, you said.
Okay, yeah. Of us calling the action of a 1997 Royal Rumble.
Yes.
If that is, for some reason, people like that, I feel like that maybe a fictional Royal Rumble might be next.
Okay. David and a few other people wrote in with the exact same idea,
ooh,
which is what about a fake Survivor season?
You know I like it when multiple people say the same thing.
Yes. That's canon on the show that you immediately agree with them. A fake Survivor season, Brandt Steele, with different RGP correspondents. He says, what about Josh Wigler, Taron Armstrong, Mike Bloom, Melissa Denny, Ali Lasher, etc. I believe are on record not liking this idea.
I liked it less before Brandt Steele was in the mix, where it was that if you know what, because this has been an idea that's been kicked around for a while. When the idea was sort of,
I think 4 years ago,
right? Sort of like do it with all of the RHAP hosts, and then but now it's like, okay, well, I don't think that Steven likes this person, so I think that Steven would vote them out.
Right. Where so you have to be randomized.
So yeah, so Brandt Steele would take care of that. I'm just observing. So I like the idea, and I'm sure that
people will definitely like it. This would definitely be a popular episode.
It would. It'll happen. Eventually, I'm just not sure if that's an RAANAP episode.
Okay, that's fair. Now, I will say, although I sort of claimed it 4 years ago, but that's fine. Do it with whoever you want.
I'm not saying that it can't be with you. I just don't know if it's necessarily...
That's fine. But now let me, even though I do really like the idea, someone else wrote in, I won't say their name. They had the same idea and they listed a prospective cast.
Okay.
And the downside with that idea is I immediately wrote this person back, who I know.
Yeah.
And said, like, person X was left off and they will literally cry from being left off. And that, and then I respond back like, oh, I just realized person Y was left off. Like, they will come and murder us. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of an issue. Okay. I think you'd have to include
20 people. And then here's the thing.
Let me explain something to you. And by the way, don't in the patron group or whatever, don't fan cast this season. Don't hurt people's feelings and do that. I mean, do it in your splinter group all you want, but don't do it in front of people who could see it.
Yeah. Do it in your WhatsApp group. That's with, yes. 19 of your friends, but not 20. Yeah.
People have 19 friends. Oh, the one. Yeah. But don't, if you don't like someone, don't use the trash emoji or whatever as the symbol for it. The problem is the
can't
principal
believe they left
saw
off trash can.
Yeah. The principal, like, it was insane. The principal saw that and that got messy. I think even with that, you'd have to sort of put in everyone who's possible and then either have like a 24 person season or just randomize who gets cast. Because, to avoid hurting people's feelings. Like anyone who's sort of, because you have more than 20 correspondents at this point.
Yeah.
Like I made the list and I even sent it back and forth to this person and a couple of the podcasters. Like, there's really no way to do it. And I'm willing to sit this one out, by the way. I'm happy not to be on the season. Like in real life, I wouldn't actually play Survivor. But
I would want people to opt into it. I wouldn't want to draft
yes,
people
yeah,
into
that's
it.
Fine.
And then I
that's
think
fine.
That what I think would
then it could be like, oh, Brent, you're mad, you're not there, or you didn't respond to the email.
No, and then here's the thing that I think that would be the most fun. Way to do it would be to have everybody sort of like on the Zoom conference call.
That would be amazing. I think this would be incredible. Yeah, this is a good idea. Maybe for an off season show, like after the Survivor season.
Yeah, it could be Haley Strong just played the eye like, Haley, what, tell us what happened there. I'm like, like,
right and then it's just her internet not working and she doesn't respond to you. I'm joking, Haley, I have
heard that she is in a new residence.
Yeah, she moved. I'm sure she has good internet. I was just teasing her. Haley would never not get cast in this show. Okay, that's a fun idea. We'll put that on the back burner, maybe not for this show. Shut up Tim, our most prolific emailer, says, you have Rob's choice and Akiva's choice. What about adding a listener's choice? When this option gets picked, Rob and Akiva tweet out a listener's. We tweet out whoever says first we do, basically. I think that's what he's saying. That we tweet out we need a listener podcast. The first person to respond with a valid wheel option is selected.
First person to respond to...
On Twitter, I guess he's saying, with the idea of like what... Like, basically, we pick from... When we say we need a listener's choice, we pick on Twitter. I think this is half-baked. Shut up, Tim. I don't know. Do you like? The problem is some of the ideas we picked, we don't even like. So,
yeah,
going with a listener thing could be dangerous.
Yeah. Is it now like too many levels? A hat on a hat.
It is true. And also, like, any listener who has an idea, just email in. Like, I'll at least glance at every single email.
It sounds like that. Shut up, Tim is angling for Shut up, Tim's choice.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he'll get that eventually, but that's true. He's not on the wheel. I mean, I think the Harry
would be
Potter
open
thing,
to that as Shut Up Tim's choice. As like, if can we do like a half spot on the wheel, like almost like bankrupt or lose a turn?
Meaning what? If it hits, we like spin another wheel and then it's like it's all forever.
No, and it's like, all right, well, we have to wait for Shut Up Tim's choice.
Yeah.
That's too much. I mean, that's too much.
He needs an idea. And he's also like the Harry Potter thing is his idea. He's into that. That's his baby.
Yeah, that's Shut Up Tim's choice.
Frail Mary writes in with a question.
Oh, yes.
She says, you guys mentioned that we want her to do some sort of fan fiction related episode, which she's totally down with, but she needs clarification. Okay.
All right. I'm very excited to talk about this.
Did we mean that she should write a Seinfeld-esque fan fiction and we just read it on the podcast?
No.
Now, she does add. She adds as an addendum, she's not a big Seinfeld fan, so she'd kind of have to watch it anyway.
Not what I want.
Okay. Should Frail Mary Krakowski, curate various fan fiction tidbits relating to topics we've discussed, like Seinfeld fan fiction, Odd Couple fan fiction, Leprechaun fan fiction, and we read them, mess around with them on the podcast? Do we want her to write fan fiction about us in general or about RANAP? We want Robin Akiva fan fiction?
Yes.
That's what you were looking for?
Okay. Yes. And not, again, she has established that not all fan fiction is erotica. That's not, that's a misconception.
So we're spinning, this is 50-50, whether it's going to be Robin Akiva erotica.
No,
on the podcast.
No, she, no. She says just because it's fan fiction doesn't mean it's erotica. So I'm going to take her at her word.
But it could be.
I don't think there's any market for that.
There's anything wrong with that. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but literally not one person wants that.
Shut up, Tim. We'd be fine with it. He's pretty cool with whatever we do.
Nobody asked for this.
No. All right. Tell Frail Mary directly what you want her to do.
All right. I'm speaking let me speak to you directly, and then you tell me if you co-sign this. But I want to hear a fan fiction about you and I doing something that we never would actually do in real life. So that
we leave the house.
Right, like leave the house. But what if you and I had to go and podcast from the International Space Station were picked to go and, you know, judge a whatever. You know, you and I are going on an adventure. This is like the Robin Akiva movie. We don't have to actually do the thing, but the fan fiction would then tell the story, the short story of you and I on this adventure that we would not have to actually go do.
Is this a full podcast, though? Like, it sounds fun. Is this a full podcast? People are going to turn in, oh, I want to see what Frail Mary wrote about Robin Akiva doing.
I think it is.
Okay.
You wouldn't be excited to show up one day and it's like, all right, let's hear.
Well, she's doing all the work. That excites me greatly. Some of these podcasts seem to be a lot of work for me, and some I'm happy to do no work.
Now, she is a fan fiction writer or connoisseur?
Yeah, she's a fan fiction writer. I think it goes hand in hand. I think there's like, oh, I only write fan fiction. I don't read it. There's no fan fiction snobs out there. I think everyone who reads it also writes it.
All right. Hypothetically, all right.
Yeah.
You and I.
And she better include Mike Bloom. He will be furious if he's not fake included in this.
You and I are having a guy's weekend, and it's a dream come true where we're locked in a house and our family our families are gone. They want that you're in this fan fiction, your wife and my wife have become best friends, and they say, hey, we're going on a girl's trip and taking the kids and you and
our wife's dreams.
And again, this is not going to turn into erotica. All right. So get that out of your minds, everybody.
Yes.
And you and I are home alone for the weekend, but
with each other.
Yes. And there's going to be a Jet game.
Do I come to LA?
There's going
to,
who knows? That's up.
Okay, that's up to Mary.
Okay. And there's going to be a Jet game.
Are there guest stars or like Wiggler and Bloom and Antonio and those guys going to come hang with us?
There's going to be also, it's going to be the Mets are in the World Series, and it's game four of the World Series. So there's a Sunday, Jet game, and then it's a World Series game at night. But there's also been reports of break-ins in the area.
Oh, it's spooky. Okay.
And
I hope the leprechaun's not coming.
Well, Marvin Harry are
I thought you were going to say Marvin Harrison. That's much scarier than Marvin Harry.
Marvin Harry
don't have a gun.
are thinking about, they're casing the joint.
People don't really case joints anymore. I think that was the 90s. Like, everyone was casing joints.
You don't think that Robin Akiva versus Marvin Harry?
All right, I like it. All right, we'll leave all the details to her. We're also not going to put it on the wheel until she writes it, because I want her to like have done it. I don't want to give her
she needs to sign off on this.
Yes, if you sign off on this and you tell us when you're done or you're within a week of being done, we'll add it to the wheel. I'm going to add it right now to the waiting room.
It doesn't have to be Robin Akiva versus Marvin Harry, but that's my pitch.
We just have to be characters. She could do whatever she wants. She could take it in any direction. And now what is the podcast? She's going to come on and read it?
Right.
Okay.
She's going to come on and read it. And then, you know, we can react to certain things. Hopefully we won't take her off of it.
Can we give her a lot of work also? What if it's like an audio play? What if she has like a character playing me and a character playing you?
Are we reading our lines? That's up to her.
But also, they could be recorded. It could be like,
No editing.
No editing. Well, I don't know. Frail Mary. She's got
if it's a play, she can juggle a lot of things. If it's a play, it's a play, and we'll do it live. Okay. But
all right, it's up to Frail Mary.
That's up to her. Well, the ball's in her court because we don't know how the this all works in terms of fan fiction. Okay.
All right, last one before we get to the views.
That's officially going on onto the wheel. Or she has to accept it.
Yeah, she has to accept it, but it will be on the wheel. I'm sure she wrote in, so I think she'll put it on. Last one before,
but not yet. That was premature.
Yes, never do your mushroom premature. All right, let's go to season 3, episode 7. This is sort of season 3, episode 7.
So we've added nothing to the wheel today.
But we added a few things to the waiting room that'll get on soon.
Okay.
This could be on the wheel. You'll see. Ben Martell wrote in, and he got a million likes on Twitter. He says, I want at Rob Cesternino and at Keefe 26 to watch an episode of Judge Judy, then talk about how they would have ruled the cases and what outcomes would have happened if they were a judge. People really like this idea.
It's a great idea. I love it, too.
Now, are we doing season 3, episode 7 of Judge Judy?
I don't know how you would even... Where is Judge Judy on demand?
Good question. But we could find random episodes, but not specific episodes,
right.
I think.
So, hey, that's like watch season 3, episode 7 of the Eyewitness News.
Right. Price is right. All right. So now Judge Judy, should we just put it on the wheel and we'll just pick a random episode?
Yes.
And maybe we'll tell people ahead of time what it is.
Yes.
How about this? If you like a particular episode...
Does somebody need to watch the episode of Judge Judy before we react? No, maybe we'll just...
No, but they're welcome to if they want. If
could we just DVR it, whatever episode is on that week? Do you want a classic episode?
Yeah, we could pick that. Or if somebody wants to write in and say like, oh, this, you guys will love this episode and here's a link to it. We're fine with that too.
Okay. All right.
So putting that on the wheel, right? Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. Okay. Judging Judy.
Judging
it's going
Judy.
On the I wheel. Like
yeah, I think that's a winner. I think that's good. I like Judge Judy.
Okay. I don't know if I've really ever watched it too much.
I mean, I've seen like clips of it. I don't think I've sat down for a full half hour,
mm-hmm.
but I've definitely seen a piece of it. All right. So that's a good idea by Ben. Yeah.
Does anybody not know the concept of Judge Judy? What's going on there?
I think even like non-Americans probably. Okay. It's a show. It's like small claims court, except Judge Judy is the judge. I think there's nothing to do you think there are people who don't know Judge Judy?
Okay, maybe if there's a especially interesting case or episode that's online, then
send that in to us.
Do we have any Judy stans?
There's probably Judy stans. My grandfather's wife, I think, watches Judge Judy every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be like, I don't think I would have the awkward conversation like, hey, let me explain first what a podcast is. Now let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite episode? Do you know where I can find it? Also, if you write in with season 3, episode 7 or TV ideas, if you send us a link to that episode, that is especially helpful because people have started doing that and that saves us some time.
Okay.
And also we know that it's available because some of the things in the fishbowl are probably harder to find than we would like.
All right.
Will from America says, have you guys added the Big Bang Theory to the fishbowl?
Well, Akiva has famously never watched an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
I've seen parts of my wife goes on, she exercises every night on some exercise bike and she watches a TV show. So she watches The Big Bang Theory or Suits or Grey's Anatomy, whatever's on.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it and like avoid it. But I have seen like probably 10 seconds of every episode.
Yeah, I don't think that is season 3, episode 7 of The Big Bang Theory would be an especially fun podcast. Like
no, do people like that show? Even though it's like objectively bad,
people
probably
like it, but it's not going to be bad. There's nothing to make fun of,
right?
You know?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
You know,
we laugh a few times, but it's not
people
right.
People mock it because it's just like so mainstream that it's cool
True.
To make.
If it
fun
really
of it.
Sucked, nobody would watch it. Like I'm sure it's good.
It's fine. There's not enough there to.
Are you saying it's the best show?
Well, I think it's underrated.
That's the teed up corollary. Like it's the most like Avatar is the best movie because the most people have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
With The Big Bang Theory. It's the best sitcom.
I think The Big Bang Theory gets made fun of a lot, and you know, I think it should be celebrated.
It's, right.
More.
It's not like Nickelback. It's not like, or maybe you think Nickelback is like that. Like, it's not aggressively bad. It's just too popular.
Yes, and it's popular to also pile on.
Sure. Will from America also adds he's still advocating for the kids swap quiz.
Kids swap quiz where we
the wife quiz, but with our with our oldest sons.
Yeah, but what are you going to ask Dominic?
I don't think their answer is
going
to be funny, especially like if they're just right. Like to have them on, at least they would be cute. But like It wouldn't be funny, but it, just their answers, like in email form.
The wife swap quiz was funny because that the wives were going to be mean.
Their characters, they're like, the kids are not going to be mean. They're just like, it's a funny idea for like a video. If you did more video podcasts, mm-hmm. like asking your son questions, but like, I don't know how much audio gold we're going to get out of them.
So no, that's a pass for me.
Yeah. Dan says, how about season 3, episode 7 of Everybody Loves Raymond? The show ran for 9 seasons, mid-90s to the mid-2000s, had a solid cast, Ray Romano, Brad Garrett, Patricia. All right, we get the point. This is the last sitcom, for me personally, that I remember watching on a regular basis that always had me laughing. Could there be some funny comparisons to Rob and Ray? They're both from New York, they're both comedians. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
both laid back, both like the Mets, or comparisons of Nicole to Deborah, both opinionated firecrackers. Mm-hmm. Could make for a fun show with various paths to veer off into.
I don't think that that's especially ironic. I think that it's a really well done show. Probably
it's fine. I don't think anybody's going to be like, I'm psyched for Everybody Loves Raymond.
No,
next week.
I don't think anybody's going to.
I don't think people will be psyched.
There's not going to be the stuff there to make fun of, and it's not.
Do you want to hear the episode summary?
Sure.
When Robert's unable to get any privacy with Amy, he decides to move out. He finds a place above an old couple's garage. When Ray visits him, he sees the striking similarity they have with Frank and Marie. Points it out to Robert, who then decides to find a new place. Meanwhile, Marie's spending all her time at Ray's place, and it drives Deborah crazy.
I'm sure it's fine. It's just I don't think that's a fun podcast.
Yeah, I don't. I you also have to think of it like, all right, Rob's dropping this podcast on Saturday. Are people pumped to see it in the feed? I don't know if they're pumped to see Everybody Loves Raymond. Now, Frail Mary's fan fiction, everyone's going to be fired up for.
Everyone loves Akiva. Yes.
Mike and Jill from Orlando both have the same idea, which is a retrospective on 90s or 80s game shows or some sort of season 3, episode 7. You could do Double Dare or Guts or Legends of the Hidden Temple. And they said if you're feeling adventurous, you could branch out and do Figure It Out, Finders Keepers, or Get the Picture, which I don't remember as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I sort of mished their emails together, so I don't know if it was Jill from Orlando or Mike. Actually, I think it was Mike. Sent us the links to season 3, episode 7 of Guts and Double Dare on Daily Motion. That's a lot of work. That's good. What do you think? Did you have any affinity for these shows when you were a kid? The Nickelodeon shows.
Is there
a lot of nostalgia around these shows?
Yeah. Is there enough there? Like, what are we doing? We're watching the episode and then recapping it, or we're talking about all of the shows?
I think it would be a regular season 3, episode 7.
Yeah. I mean, if that came up in the fishbowl, we finally got a season 3, episode 7, and that's what came up. I'm not
Double Dare, people would be mad. You're probably right. I do like, I watched Double Dare with my kids. I think I mentioned it was fun, but I don't know if. It would probably be more interesting to watch the new one than the old one, and even that, I'm not sure how interesting it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also don't know how much the new one took off. I haven't heard much about it.
Guess what? None of these reboots. Say maybe Will and Grace, that might be the only one, but none of these reboots anybody's
I think we're done
for.
With Candace Bergen also. We haven't heard back from her, and the more she doesn't seem great.
I saw an article of like, Murphy Brown reboot has softer ratings than expected.
Nobody's watching it. That's for sure.
No, that was a bad idea.
Let's do four very quick. We could just do yes or no. Season 3, episode 7. We'll spin the movie. I'll get everyone out of here. Daniel says, fellas, love the show. I'd love to hear season 3, episode 7, Barney Miller or Ancient Aliens.
I don't know
what Ancient Aliens is, and Barney Miller I think is too old school for
I don't know if anybody's youngins excited, to care about Barney Miller, but Ancient Aliens,
I don't know what that is. Pitch us more on that for next week, maybe. I don't know. And that show got 3 seasons and a movie.
Ancient Aliens. Investigators circled the globe in search of evidence in their quest to determine whether life on Earth began in outer space or if aliens influenced mankind.
Are you an aliens believer? I don't even know.
I talked about how I was very afraid of the alien abductions.
Yeah. You still believe, you think aliens are real?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Do you think we landed on the moon?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you're not a full conspiracy theorist. That's the first question.
Aliens are a conspiracy?
No, if you think aliens exist, that's a conspiracy. That's like along the lines of thing we didn't land on the moon.
You think that the more mainstream opinion is that aliens do not exist?
I think so.
So you think that there's no other planet that has life?
Maybe something, but not like they don't have people.
That in the entire universe, this is the only place.
We would know them already. We would know them already?
No.
We would know them.
They're millions of light years away.
So you think they're still traveling here? This is why you like Star Wars.
So is the question, do I think that alien civilizations have visited us or that they exist?
That they exist.
I 100% with every fiber of my being believe that they exist.
And so you think they're never going to visit us, or they're on their way?
I don't. It's just very far away.
This would have been a very opportune time. Like 2018, people would really greet the aliens.
What's to
right
see
now.
Here? I mean, that.
Oh, you think they have nothing for us? Like Independence Day. What's the goal in Independence Day? Just like wipe us out. They're not like looking for oil.
I think they wanted our resources. Yeah.
Did they? They were out of resources on their planet.
Yeah,
they
used up their resources.
I think people would greet the aliens as heroic conquerors if they came now.
I don't know. I think that human nature is to fear what we don't understand. I think that
true. But you think like the whole world could team up Independence Day style? It would be like
no,
US
we would
and
be
Russia
wiped. We would be wiped out if you know.
Oh, yeah,
if
the
aliens
would crush us.
Came here with hostile
we'd
intentions.
We'd be the Jets.
We'd,
they'd be the
done.
Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But no, I 100%. There's no statement that I believe in stronger that there is life on other planets. Now, are they visiting us? That I don't know. I would not make any.
Should we do an
assurances.
Alien cast where we get like an alien expert to come in and sort of solve this puzzle for us?
Yeah, how could you say that we're it? The entire universe?
I don't know. I maybe you're right. You're convincing
billions
me.
Of stars that were the only ones that this happened.
Yeah. Speaking of science fiction, Van Carew says
but the only two
leap.
Idiots podcasting about with a wheel.
Yeah. No, there's got to be more wheels out there. Quantum Leap feels like the perfect season 3 episode 7 edition.
Yeah.
It's liked but not loved. It's not great but not terrible.
Yeah. And what was it again? Did they give the description of that Quantum Leap episode?
No, he didn't describe it.
Let's look it up. I'm definitely up for this if you are.
I think it's the same thing. I'd say like remind us again in a few months. Like this can't be the first fishbowl thing that comes up because I think the young people, myself included, should be yourself included. Like,
yeah.
When was the show on? Don't have a real
so
hankering
early
for the show.
90s, the idea of Quantum Leap is that Scott Bakula is a scientist and he is able to travel through time in his lifetime. And already the Akiva / Mike Francesa is saying, what is it, sci-fi? Oh, okay. I didn't watch it. I was watching Parcells coach the Giants. Okay.
That was a good mic. I think it's fine. Like if there's 200 episodes of the show for one to be a Quantum Leap.
Yes.
But the fishbowl right now.
Yeah.
Is so
could be a little bit of a, it's a charged episode. Sam becomes a black medical student during the Watts riots, torn between his white fiance and loyalty to his community. So it doesn't sound the
Maybe
Watts riot, not a laugh riot. You know what I mean?
Van didn't include the episode description. He wanted to trick us getting in
yes,
trouble.
Yes. So,
I'm sure because it was an early 90s show, they handled all issues of racial
it's a serious show. It's not a comedy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that,
oh, it
they,
is.
That
okay.
They dealt with Vietnam. They dealt with a lot of hot button subjects.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
It's a very well done show. There are probably episodes that, you know, Sam Quantum leaps into Dr. Ruth in one episode. So I think being locked into season 3,
Dr.
episode
Ruth,
7.
Like Dr. Ruth Westheimer or whatever?
Yes. Yes. Scott Bakula.
No, she was.
Yes. And there's
was
a
she
lot
like
of,
in the episode?
Yeah. When he looks in a mirror, he's Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Ah, I got it. They had her acting. She's still doing her thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Last one. Jacob says season 3, episode 7, Desperate Housewives. The show's the perfect combination of having been iconic at one time, but not beloved that anyone will be mad at you for pointing out its obvious ridiculousness. This episode happens to be one of the most dramatic of the whole show and a perfect one-off episode to recap.
I don't know how excited I would be for.
I don't think so.
If we had
a housewife stand, fine. If like Kirsten McGinnis wrote and is like, you don't understand. Like, I have a Desperate Housewives tattoo. I'd be like, all right, fine. you could have on. But I think we'd need a housewife expert for it.
She doesn't really. You're just saying that.
No, of course not. But like,
does anybody?
The Mike Blooms of the world, like, shut up, Tim. He might get the tattoo just to come on the show and be like, look, I've had this all along. This is a 5-year-old tattoo of Desperate Housewives.
A hostage situation at a supermarket changes everyone's lives. That's what the episode description is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. From November 5th, 2006.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What is that, a Housewives show? Oh, forgot it. All right.
All right. We added one thing to the wheel. Nothing to season 3, episode 7.
All right. Are we
Judging Judy is added.
The season 3, episode 7 to worth 5 spots on the
Correct.
Wheel?
Correct. 5 slots on the wheel.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And all there's right. only like 10 or 11 things on the wheel now. So it's got a huge percentage.
Huge. Huge percentage. Okay. All right. Here's what's on the wheel right now. Season 3, episode 7. CSI New York. Kids shows are trash. Rob's choice, Akiva's choice, Oregon Trail, The Rise and Fall of Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Wizarding World, Star Wars, The Brant Steele TV Top 50, and Judging Judy.
All right, I'm fine with all these. There is one I'm going to veto here if we get it.
Oh, all right. So let's save the settings and let's go ahead and launch the wheel.
Here People have asked for you to put the wheel and the fishbowl stuff on the website.
Okay.
Like what's on the
wheel. I don't have a list of the fishbowl. I can take a picture of the fishbowl.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you the list. I have a list.
Okay. Currently, season 3, episode 7 is taking up like a good third of the wheel at this point.
Okay. Maybe its day has come.
All right. Let's see. Here we go, Akiva. Let's spin.
My palms are sweaty. My knees are weak.
Here comes the big wheel spin for episode number 11.
Would you ever like lie and just tell me like if something didn't come up? Like, are you tricking us? Do you actually reveal the right thing every time?
I reveal the right thing every single time.
I trust you.
And I can tell you that next week's podcast will be...
Yes?
The Wizarding World.
Oh! People are happy.
Is Akiva happy?
Yeah, I'm not vetoing that. That wasn't my veto. Are you fine with that? I think people like Harry Potter. They'll be into it.
Yes, I think people will be excited, and especially if people did not love the dad cast or that we talked too much about Mike Francesa or WFAN. Mm-hmm.
That was the best part, so I hope they like that.
So, all right. Hopefully, people are happy, and that is what came
now,
up.
Now, the only thing is we have to, and we could do this off air, but we have to schedule two people, plus us two, for this podcast. Okay. I will say, I don't know if you've noticed.
And is Thanksgiving also involved, so we'll
That's
see.
True. Is this definitely going to happen next week?
Let's write to our guests because we record
I'm
this.
I'm saying, are you willing to, if they're like, we can't do it next week, would you skip a week? Would you do what we did and do an emergency wheel spin next week and then do it in 2 weeks?
I would rather not. I feel like that we can work this out because we
what
have
What if they're
basically...
not available? Then do what? Have you noticed? People are extremely thirsty and coming for their crown.
Crown?
The Real Weird Sisters. So many people have been like, well, like I wanted to be the Harry Potter person. Or like, well, if they, you know, have an emergency.
Yeah. If abdicate. Then I feel like that I would put it on them to name their successor.
No. If they're not participating, then we could name. Plus, I think there's a couple people who will be very mad.
I will leave it up to you then to name the successor.
No, I want them to do it.
I will recuse myself from these proceedings.
It's funny how many thirsty people are like have asked to do it. And like are like adding them.
I must recuse from the Harry Potter selection.
No, it's up to them. But hopefully we can find a time. I think they're in the West Coast time zone. If I'm not mistaken,
We record these on Wednesday during the given week. So this is a podcast that probably will not go up for a week and a half. So I think that we can figure out a time to record this.
All right. What if they're only available right now?
Akiva and I are going to get a crash course in Harry Potter.
Yes, and we're going to find out what house we are.
Okay.
Am I a Hufflepuff like my father?
Okay. Does it go down, like, if your father was something, is it likely that you're going to be that, or we'll find that out
next
week?
One of the questions we're going to have to ask them, because that's a good question. I'm not sure.
And what are Akiva's kids? So, lots of stuff to learn. All right. Akiva, anything else? It was a long episode.
Yeah, this was long. I think I've said anything I need to say. Don't get mad at us if you didn't like some of our parenting advice. We're not experts.
Right.
I have nothing else to say. Did you watch 1 second of the Jet game last week?
I unfortunately did. Yeah. I ended up, so I was doing the patron pie. I do a weekly podcast that's the patrons call in and, ask me questions and we talk about whatever's going on. And I usually do that on Friday, but because of the wildfires, I had to cancel that. And I said, okay, well, let me schedule this for before football comes on Sunday. And I was going and we were on a good roll and I was starting to get messages like, 7-0 Bills. And I'm like, all right, let's keep going. And I think it must have been, I don't know, what was it, 17-0 at the time I came in?
It was, I don't know. I was watching Red Zone because I was at a barbecue. Yeah. And I was like, well, if the Jets game is really interesting, I'll leave and go home. But it was
Eric
over
Stein
by the time
was
I got to the
texting me, oof.
Yeah, it was an oof. It was an. I actually like wanted to message my dad and be like, "Oh, I hope you didn't actually go," because I wasn't sure if him and my grandfather went to that game. Luckily, they did not. Because imagine going there. That game was over a half hour in, and then it's like you got to do like the hour and a half, 2 hour drive home, sit in traffic. That's a brutal ride home after that game. You're leaving at halftime.
Eric Stein's text was, you're finally going to get your Bulls wish. Getting slaughtered on defense by an awful offense's fourth string quarterback who signed 12 days ago and shut out on offense. Pathetic. A backup tackle just caught a TD. Bye, Todd. Three holding calls on the same play.
Same play. Yeah, well, maybe they could draft a quarterback this year since they have a good draft pick, Rob.
Yes. All right. Well, Akiva, unfortunately, the Jets were one of my picks in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, which is sponsored by betonline.ag, who also sponsor this episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Yeah, things did, you know, I got to stay 5 for 5 if I'm going to win this Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge and get $5,000 donated to the charity of my choice.
Yeah, so you have to be perfect the rest of the way.
I gotta be perfect the rest of the way. I gotta check in on the scoring for this because I just feel like that a lot of people passed me. I'm down to sixth place here.
Yikes! Yeah, all right, big week. You need to go 5 for 5. And this is a tough week because there's no blowout game.
There's no blowout game.
I don't envy
you. This is actually a very tricky week. The last 3 weeks, it was very easy to get 5 out of 5, right, unless you pick the Jets. And I allowed my heart to tell me what my brain should have told me was a stay away, but. Mm-hmm. Pick the Jets at home against the Bills, and that was a bad move. All right, here are the Week 11 picks. You're ready for this?
Yes.
The Week 11 picks. Okay, give me Carolina at Detroit. I can't do the whole thing as Mike Fritz also. Then I also took Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. That one's a little risky.
That's about 3-point line. That's tough, yeah.
I took the Cardinals hosting the Raiders.
I like it.
And the Saints.
Raiders have quit.
The Saints hosting the Eagles.
Yeah, I like that.
And then my lock of the week was the Chargers, and the Chargers are hosting the Broncos this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have a skewed view of the Broncos because we saw them get destroyed by us. Mm-hmm. Probably a little better than we think, but that's still a good pick.
I was thinking about the Giants hosting Tampa Bay, but then I said...
No, I actually think Tampa Bay is going to win that game, so I'd stay away from that.
Stay away. Okay. All right. So here we are past the midway point in the NFL and the college football season. You got the Saints, the Rams, and the Chiefs looking great. Teams like Carolina, Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Houston, who Akiva picked to go to the Super Bowl, are coming on strong.
That's right.
In college football, Alabama, clearly the best team in the country again. You got Notre Dame, Clemson, Michigan, all right there in the BCS standings. Only one place to get in on all the action, betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. That's PODCAST1 for that 50% sign-up bonus in the NBA. Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, and Denver all off on a very high note. And in the NHL, Nashville and Tampa are sitting at the top with the best records. Just don't call Mike Francesa, I want to talk about them because don't miss out on all the incredible action. Go online, use your mobile phone even to sign up and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive your 50% sign-up bonus. Try in-game live betting where you can participate with all of the action with every play. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Akiva.
Love it.
Anything else that we need to get to this week?
No, I think we've exhausted every topic.
We've exhausted every single topic. There's nothing else.
You want to talk about the weather? I don't know. What should we talk about?
I'm done with the weather. Okay.
Okay.
If people want to send us in their ideas, we also welcome them. Need a podcast at robhasawebsite.com. Now, last time I told you that we were up to 87 ratings in the iTunes store. If somebody goes to robhasawebsite.com/NAP, do you think that we got more ratings than T-Dub got new followers?
No. We got 100 followers. I'd be happy if we got like 2 new ratings. I feel like 1% of listeners rate podcasts.
But they are the best 1%.
Oh, yeah. They're literally the 1%. How many did we get any new?
Yes, we now have 92 ratings there in the iTunes store. We got some new 5-star and 1 new 4-star review. So 95-star reviews and 2 4-star reviews.
Okay, we'll take that.
robhaswebsite.com/NAP. Akiva, do you have any recent reviews?
Yeah, we got a few. This is from House Wins 11.
Yes.
He says, Rob and Akiva have a fan.
Oh.
Randomly listened to this edition of RHAP today while doing chores, and I'm glad I did. I listened to the Leprechaun episode after the raid reviews and thought it was okay, but this year Tweets Are Trash episode had completely won me over. I'm hesitant about the next episode because I'm not a parent, but I'm optimistic that it'll be a hoot. Good job, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Winthorpe Bell says, 5 stars, chemistry is fun after all. Robin and Akiva have good chemistry that they've developed in their Seinfeld podcast, which you should check out. This is a bold venture, partly out of the random because of the random multiple topics. You might not like every episode, but give the podcast a try.
Have you seen a lot of the hype for this new Leprechaun that's coming out, Akiva?
Yes, you sent it to me. I actually wanted to ask you, should we put Leprechaun 2 on the wheel?
I think we should, but we should. But I think a lot of people stop listening already, so I think we should talk about it.
Not
on the
now,
next episode.
But I mean, like, okay.
Yes, I think
I'll
Leprechaun 2 should be on the wheel.
I think Leprechaun might be our thing. Silliness and nostalgia from Chrisia. If you have some meaningless tasks to complete, like yard work or laundry, Robin and Akiva make you feel like life isn't so terrible. I love this, quote, podcast about nothing so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two more. A podcast made for fans of banter by Vince Ham. For me, podcasts live and die in the personalities of the host. A podcast with interesting topics and boring or awkward hosts will never hold an audience the way a podcast does when the hosts have chemistry, regardless of the topic. Robin and Akiva know that banter about nothing is their bread and butter. This is why they've seamlessly transitioned from podcasting about Seinfeld to show about nothing to create their own spin-off podcast that's truly about nothing. Seinfeld's essentially 9 years of idle banter framed loosely around sitcom plots. Thus, Robin Akiva spent 5 years bantering about banter. I disagree. We talked about Seinfeld a lot. These guys are expert at turning almost anything into an entertaining 2+ hour podcast. Emphasis on the 2+ hours at this point. They clearly put in the time when a topic demands research, and they're upfront about their pop culture blind spots. This is the only podcast I've found where literally anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like Kevin Garnett said. Here's the
this
looking
should be
forward
the,
to many
the,
more.
The tagline for the show, where anything is possible.
That's a good, yeah. That's can we take that from you, Vince Ham?
Yeah.
Here's the looking forward to many more years of Robin Akiva bantering at the mercy of their listener generated topic wheel. And then one more. This is our 4-star review. It says Too Much Banter by Finn McCool. There is way too much talking going on during this podcast. Robin Akiva need to dial it back. Frankly, I think they are missing a whole segment of the population that just wants silence. If this podcast was 8 hours of silence, I could listen to it while I slept. Tweak the format to hours of nothingness, and I'll bump you from 4 to 5 stars. All right, so it was not even a serious 4-star review. But Finn, you got to bump us up now. We read your funny review on podcast. Nothing, yeah. Now we want 5 stars.
We love
I did on 32 Fans once. We got
4-star reviews.
We got below 5 stars once on a 32 Fans review, and I bullied the guy into giving me.
Yeah,
he said Akiva's a monster, and I said, like, no. You're making it 5 stars, or you're banned from the show.
Leprechaun
and
is a monster.
He changed it.
Yeah.
Is he a monster?
I think so. Leprechaun sci-fi movie coming to sci-fi in March.
I thought it was a show. Is it a one? Is it just a total movie?
I believe
movie?
It's a TV movie.
Is it a miniseries maybe? I don't know.
Let's see. The film picks up 25 years after the events of the 1993 original. So I think it's a
TV
movie.
And it's with
movie.
What you call the slow adult. Like that one older guy is the only old person in
I'm
it.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Shockingly, they didn't get Aniston to this TV movie on the Sci-Fi
Do you
want to
hear the trailer?
Yeah. No, I just read it.
Here, look.
I mean, I just watched
it. I have it open.
It.
You want to
I want to hear it. Yes, okay. Yes.
I've been gone quite a while. What a tale before. My fingers are itching. I'm
it's a new leprechaun.
Why, let's try a luck and bet on me gold. If it lands on tails, I'll do as me told. But heads, I'll start a new killing spree. Oh, what a lovely surprise. Shall we try best 2 out of 3?
I have no idea what the leprechaun is talking about, but should we incorporate a coin toss into some of the selection of, like, should we have a lucky leprechaun coin?
Like which leprechaun movie we podcast about?
Maybe there's something that on the wheel that involves a coin toss.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if we have if multiples of something, we'll include a coin toss.
I feel like that we should change Rob's choice or Akiva's choice to coin toss, and then there's a heads or tails coin
wheel.
Flip. And then,
or you mean you choose two things and then
no,
we flip
no,
a coin
no, no,
for
no.
it?
And we merge Rob's choice and Akiva's choice into coin toss.
Oh, a coin flip. And then we flip for a choice. I like that.
Okay,
I like that.
I'll propose that again next week.
Okay, fine.
And then we have
this
a lucky leprechaun.
This part of the podcast, not this is the
toss.
Patreon part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I like that.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Follow Akiva on Twitter. He is at Keeve26. Akiva is also on the 32 Fans podcast. Are you guys still talking about football on the 32 Fans podcast?
Yeah. We're still talking about football. Why wouldn't we? Just because the Jets are bad, the Vikings are still good.
Okay. Are they that good?
They're like playoff-ish.
Playoff-ish. But are they a serious contender?
No, I don't think so. Chester thinks they are. I don't think they are.
Okay. All right. Purple-colored glasses, maybe, for Chester on that one.
Yeah. they're fine. The Vikings are fine. He's been burned a lot, so he's also mildly pessimistic.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.